All right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich follows with the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Friday. Yeah, man, Friday. That means it's all of our regular Friday features will be coming up, which is Fly Jams Friday. Get your funky requests ready to go, 312-981-7200. Straight out of context, which, of course, is you listen to this radio station 24-7. Whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Also, Nick D Show Spies. That's when you, again, listen 24-7 whenever I am mentioned or anybody is in or the show is mentioned in any capacity. Again, jot down the time, that said, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And You Big Dummy, that's where we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, usually getting arrested, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. So all the regular Friday features are coming up, and we are going to be joined by members of the band The Diving Bell, who are going to be performing at the New Americana Songwriter Revival on Friday, November 16th at Pheasant Run. And they're going to be here. They're going to perform live. We're going to talk about all the gig. And they're playing with our good friend Noah Gabriel, who was in last week, 2 weeks ago, right? 2 weeks ago? Damn, 2 weeks. Was it last week? What? How long ago was it?
3 or 4, I think.
Is it really? Was it that long ago? I don't even know what day it is. But anyway, Noah was here, and so the gig is coming up on Friday, November 16th, and we'll hear some live music from the Diving Bell and hang out with them for some live music. And I'm so excited because Esmeralda Leon is in the building, and she's going to join us after 2 o'clock for the entire rest of the show. We're going to do some, we'll have Skip Skipley come in for the record, and we'll do some other really cool stuff. But it's lovely that she's here, and we're excited about that. So Esmeralda will be here starting at 2 o'clock. She'll be here for the remainder of our Friday show, and I'll have her pick the bumps for Fly Jams Friday. We'll have her do that. Now, one of the reasons why Esmeralda is here is because tomorrow happens to be Vic Vaughn's birthday. And so we are going to celebrate Vic's birthday this morning. And that's one of the reasons why Esmeralda's here. So we can hang out and we're all going to celebrate Vic's birthday. Let me just say, first of all, I want to thank Patty for letting me jump in on her show and see Allison and Manny again. They're two of my dearest friends that I've worked with. I've worked with at the Factory Theater for many, 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 many years and worked with them and directed them and acted with them. And they're just a wonderful couple, and I'm happy for their success. And I'm going to go see their play. I'm going to go see Manny's new play. I want to thank. It was just so great to see them. And it's been a very, very long time since I've seen those two, and it was just lovely to see them. And that was a lot of fun. And it's lovely that Esmeralda is going to be here as well. Let's say hello to my great producer Dan Shagrew. Hi, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
So all these people, man.
Yeah, man.
it's been crazy. It's been crazy. Crazy so
and,
far.
And the best part, we can't even tell you until after 4:30.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's really kind of amazing. It's pretty crazy. So anyway, that's Dan Shagrew. He's producing. You got to get anything going for the weekend, Dan?
We have my nephew's birthday party, and then we have Friendsgiving. So.
Oh, Friendsgiving.
Yes.
Ah, is that going to be on Sunday? Or
Saturday.
That's Saturday.
Yes.
And then the birthday party is on? How old?
Both Saturday.
Oh, both Saturday. How old is your nephew?
My nephew will be four. Yes. He's just a few months older than Emily. Yes, 4.
So he's going to turn 4?
Yes.
All right. That's cool. All right. Well, have fun.
Thank
man.
You.
Friendsgiving. That's,
yep.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah, looking very forward cool. to it.
All right. So that's Dan Shagrew. He's producing. And in the newsroom is our good buddy Vic Vaughn. Vic.
Good morning, sir.
We're going to celebrate your birthday. So
I'm humbled. Thank you.
You're going to have to come in here to this studio after the 4:30 report.
Okay.
After the 4:30 news, because we have some stuff for you, and we want to celebrate your birthday, and that's one of the reasons why Esmeralda came in.
This is great. Yeah. I'm humbled and excited, and thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
It's the best. Vic is the best.
It's so great to see her.
Isn't it great?
Back.
I mean, I only saw her through the window, because she was in the newsroom. I only saw her through the window, and I just was, like, giddy.
Yeah.
And I got to,
it's great to have her back around.
Yeah. So she's going to be here, and she'll be coming in after 2 o'clock. So that's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. Vic Vaughn in the newsroom, Dan Shagrew producing, and I am your humble idiot host. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk, text, and your Fly Jam Friday requests. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. The best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. So there you go. All right, why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, we will be joined by the members of the Diving Bell. And they are right now in the PPG Paints green room right now. And we'll bring them in from there. And they're going to be performing at the New Americana Songwriter Revival on Friday, November 16th at Pheasant Run. And we're going to talk to them about their band and hear some live music and all that cool stuff. And that'll be coming up right after we take this break here on WGN.
When I was young and brave, I sailed with the crew of the Whiskey Jane, south and south and south. It got warm then cold again, to the edge of the map and farther. We sailed through waters fierce and fair to wonders right. Way beyond us.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the Allstate studios here, the Skyline Studio. And that was the Diving Bell, music from the Diving Bell. And we have three of the members of the band here. And let me welcome them to the show. And let's see, we have Charles Murphy.
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
Doing all right.
Good to see you. And also we have Steve Hendershot.
Hello.
Hi, Steve. How are you? And Claire Hendershot. Hi.
Hey.
All right. You guys were with us a couple of years ago. And that was when we were across the river there at the Tribune Tower. So these are our relatively new digs. We've been here since basically like June. And well, welcome back, you guys.
Thanks. Yeah. Enjoying the new space.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's the reason I like this studio is because it's pretty much set up exactly like the old studio that I used on the seventh floor across the river. It's pretty much exactly the same setup. So I'm like, because most people use the other studio down the hall, but I like this one. So anyway, welcome back, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
This is exciting. You guys are playing the New Americana Songwriter Revival on Friday, November 16th at the Pheasant Run. We had Noah Gabriel in here a few weeks ago to talk about it. And let's first talk about how the band started, because you guys were with us a couple of years ago, but we want to get reconnected here. So tell us how the band started.
The band started, actually. I wrote these songs, the CD that you just played. Hopefully we'll get a new one cooking here. But that was a batch of songs that I wrote by myself, and I took him to the open mic at Uncommon Ground in Edgewater Rogers Park, where I live, and I met Claire there. So, got a bandmate, married her, and then Charles here. There was another band called Duck and Goose that we liked to play with a lot in those days, and then Emily Claire Palmer's was Charles' partner in those days. And the minute she moved away to go to grad school in Washington, we waited like the appropriate 2 to 3 hours before it was like.
That's very classy of you.
We're actually talking about trying to get him, poach him, in the green room the same night of the
last show.
Yeah, we opened for them on their. They had a CD that came out that was also their last gig as a band, which is not the way I think marketers recommend that you release it.
No, that's not. It's not the most optimal plan for success. So that's how it all came together.
It is.
And then, did you guys start writing music together quickly, or collaborating, or?
Yeah, that's been interesting. We're still working out how to do that. All three of us were songwriters separately, but it's tough to work out how to, do you bring a song that's finished and everybody else writes a part around that? We've done lots of that and lots of sort of arranging around an individual song. We're still trying to figure out how do you do this together without having the finished product be a zombie song.
Okay. All right, well, Charles, let's go to your background here. Where are you from and when did you start playing music?
I was born and raised in North Alabama, and my granddaddy was actually a professional musician in the 50s back in Birmingham, and so it's a big part of my family and growing up. And started taking piano when I was in third grade and guitar in sixth. And so, yeah, it's been a
Tell me about your grandfather.
He was a boogie-woogie piano player.
Cool.
Actually had some records, some hits, actually. His best well-known hit was "Lay Something on the Bar, parentheses, Besides Your Elbows." I wish we had a cut right now that we could play, because it's gold.
And what's his name?
Chuck Murphy.
Chuck Murphy.
Namesake.
Yeah. He's your namesake. Very, very cool. So he was. So it was in your blood then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got a big family or?
Yeah, actually. Yeah, big family. Most of them are down south still.
Yeah. And do they play music as well? Is a lot of music in the family?
Yep. Yeah. There is. My dad, uncles. Yeah. It's all over.
What were your influences growing up?
It's funny.
Besides your grandfather, obviously.
Right. We had Motown was sort of half, and then Peter, Paul, and Mary, James Taylor. Like that, my dad had both of those sort of equal play.
Well, that's good because it gives you that wide range of things to appreciate. Yeah, that's really cool. What brought you up here?
Actually, I got a degree in music from Muscle Shoals, Florence area. And had to do an internship, and back when Chicago had an ASCAP membership office, I came and interned with them in Wicker Park and just stayed.
You know, how long have you been here?
11 years.
11 years, wow. Yeah. Time must fly, right?
It does.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you hooked up with these guys.
Yep.
And so, Steve, tell me about you. How did you get into music, and where are you from and all that?
Yeah, I'm from Michigan, from Lansing, Michigan, actually, so... Motown is not literally from Lansing, but from close enough.
It's
by.
Close enough.
That was another big early influence.
Yeah, it's close enough. It's right about. Exactly. I was doing the mitten thing. For those of you who aren't watching the live stream, so you're from Lansing.
And I was judging you. Like you're a couple centimeters.
I'm
too.
So you're from Lansing, and
And got into music. I don't know. I took some piano lessons in there at some point, and I refused to learn to read music. So my mom switched me to like the rock pianist, and I still refused to learn to read music, so he pawned me off on the guitar player at some point, and and I still refused to learn to read music, but it turns out it's not important. It's guitar.
So you can't read music?
I mean, there's other tablature, and
sure.
I've been forced to pick up a little theory the hard way along the way, and I can... You know, slowly and painfully read my way through something if I need to.
Can you still, every once in a while, do you play keyboards or piano? Or?
Yeah, I've been getting more into that, actually, doing more studio stuff, but still with a lot of sort of feel and chord shapes rather than reading charts.
Now, when you write, do you write with guitar as opposed to piano, or do you do both?
Another sort of interesting question in the studio era. I'm trying to do a little bit more, so I'm a much worse keyboard player, which forces me to not write to a riff all the time. So in some ways that could be a cool change of pace, but mostly guitar.
And when did you come to Chicago?
2001, right after college.
So you were right out of college.
Yeah, I had been in a band in Des Moines where I went to school, and it was just like not quite the big leagues. I was a journalist too. I was like, let's do this, but Midwest style, which meant Chicago.
Yeah, meant Chicago. And you've been here since 2001. Yep. How many bands have been in here?
Three,
and that's not bad for 17 years. You know, most people, 17 years in Chicago have been 53 bands.
Our bass player, who will be joining us at Pheasant Run, I think is in 53 bands right now.
Is that right? That's amazing, because I have musicians in a lot, you know, to hear some live music and talk and stuff like that. And the Chicago scene... So many people play with so many other people. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody plays on, you know, everybody plays in with them and all that stuff. And I think that's neat. I think that's really cool that so many people know each other and say, yeah, I'll play with you. I'll play a gig with you. I think that's awesome.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So very cool. Yeah. All right. And Claire, where are you from?
I'm from Taiwan. I grew up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I remember this now because we talked about that before.
Yeah.
And what were you... why were you in Taiwan?
Well, I was in Taiwan. My parents are missionaries, so I was born there and lived there, and was thinking about just my musical beginnings there, and just kind of was realizing that every influence was very much brought in, either from my grandparents sending VHS tapes of, Rainbow Bright or whatever, but everything like my older brother liked, me and my younger brother really liked.
Yeah.
So the Beatles were a giant kind of kickstart for my guitar playing, and also just harmonies, like learning about harmonies and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was it like? How long were you in Taiwan? Until what age?
18.
What was that like?
Well, it's hard to explain because it's like what I knew at that time.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know, the best Chinese food you could ever have, and Chinese food here is not Chinese food.
No, it's not. No.
It's there's a lot of iterations since whatever.
Yeah.
great weather, beautiful mountains, beautiful ocean.
What was the education like there for you?
I went to an American school, an international school, so it was American college prep.
Yeah. And parents are missionaries.
Yeah. They retired, but yeah.
Yeah. That must have been really something then.
Yeah. It was cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then did you come, when you came to America, did you come to Chicago?
Yes. So being that I've never, didn't know America that well, I thought I was going to Chicago, but I was going to a suburb called Deerfield.
I know Deerfield. School. Yeah.
So I realized I'd never want to live in a suburb, at least like that.
It must have been a big culture shock to go from Taiwan to Deerfield.
Yes, it was. It was. I was like, if I walk into a forest by myself and break my leg, no one will ever know. I could die there. I feel very scared of that. So,
how long was it? What was the assimilation like for you? Was it? It had to be tough, right?
Yeah. It took a while to like get used to.
But music was with you.
Yeah, I love music. I was in choir. I tried to be in the choir at my school. They didn't let me sing. They didn't think I was good enough, so that was fine. It was actually good because it just wasn't my way to do the classical route. Played music in my college, like leading music at the chapels and just playing music. I just loved playing guitar and singing and listening to music.
All right, well, cool. We're going to hear you guys play guitar and sing, and we're going to talk more about it. And you guys have a really cool gig coming up as part of the New Americana Songwriter Revival. And it's at the Pheasant. You guys ever played the Pheasant, Ron?
We have not.
Yeah. Noah was very excited about it. And it's a great space, man. It's beautiful.
I'm excited about these two bands. Seems like a really cool room. I'm not sure I knew about St. Charles as a place.
It exists. It's a real place. It's not the Matrix. It's a real thing. So hang out, you guys, okay? All right, and we'll talk more. We will talk more with the band, The Diving Bell, and we're going to hear some live music, too. But right now, we got a break for the news.
Your heart is a muscle that can't break. Indulgent people like to make. The heart can atrophy, you can get heart disease, but it doesn't snap.
Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here till 5 a.m. It's Friday. All the regular Friday features are coming up. Fly Jams, Friday Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, all of that and more. And our great friend Esmeralda Leon is going to join us after 2 o'clock, and she'll spend the whole morning with us. And we're going to celebrate in the last half hour of the show. We're going to celebrate Vic Vaughn's birthday. His birthday is tomorrow, and we obviously will not be on the air for his birthday, but we want to celebrate it nonetheless. So all of that stuff is coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to join us. Now, we are joined by the members of the band, The Diving Bell. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Charles, you go by Charlie?
I go by Charles.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you go by Charles?
Yeah.
Okay. Charles Murphy is here. Charles, you mentioned that your granddad had a song. Mm-hmm. We found it.
You're kidding.
No. Dan found it. I didn't do anything. Dan found it because he's the best producer on the planet. It's Chuck Murphy.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the name of the song is "Lay Something on the Bar," beside your elbows.
Yeah, other than your elbows.
than your elbows. Okay.
I'm so excited.
By the way, and here's another thing, Dan. You found this other thing. Is that real?
It seems to be real. I mean, it looks legit.
Rhythm Hall.
No, there's a cover that Jerry Lewis did.
What?
Of this song?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
Jerry Lewis, the one and only Jerry Lewis. So let's hold on. Let's first of all, let's hear your granddad's original here. Let's hear a little bit of it. Here we go.
Lay something on the bar beside your elbows. Say something like an old $10 bill. Put something on the bar beside your elbows. I can't ring up your elbows on the till. Bothering the guy who plays piano. You prove to one and all that you can't sing. Quit murdering back home in Indiana. The boss would rather hear the cash box ring. Lay something on the bar beside your elbows. Say something like an old $5 or $10 bill.
I gotta say, just That was fantastic just to watch you react to that.
This is surreal.
It's amazing. That's wonderful. Is so cool. That's so cool, man. That's awesome. Okay, now, you didn't know that there was a cover that...
No.
And we're talking... Dan, we're talking my hero, Jerry Lewis, right? Comedian Jerry Lewis.
A conversation is not the stuff with which we pay the rent.
Oh, my God.
Lay something on the bar beside your elbow. Something like an old $10 bill. Lay something on the bar beside your elbow. They can't bring up your elbows in the till.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
So this is probably the treatment that your grandfather really had in mind.
Yeah,
the big band version. Well, that's what Jerry Lewis used to always use, big orchestras when he sang. And that's amazing. That's really cool.
That's work.
Wow. Yeah, that's Dan. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you
so much. That's why he's the best producer on the planet.
Made my year.
Although, I gotta
say, incredible. Incredible.
Your grandfather plays Barrel House Piano, so I just thought that was going to be Jerry Lee Lewis, the killer.
See, that's what I thought. That's what I thought, too. But no, that's because I thought maybe he forgot to put the Lee on the screen here. Yep. But no, that was my main man, Jerry Lewis, from the Nutty Professor and so on.
Jerry's Kids.
Yeah, jeez. Exactly. That's pretty cool. Are you okay?
Yes. God, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to sleep.
That was fun. That was very, great. Very, very cool. Okay, why don't we hear us? Can you play now? Are you all right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Tell us about Steve. You want to tell us about what we're gonna hear here? What song?
Sure. This is called "Fly to the Fire," and looking for a pun based on or lay something on the bar beside your elbows. It's really not like that. A lot of harmonies and not a lot of Jerry Lewis.
Not a lot of Jerry Lewis. Okay, well, here it is. This is the Diving Bell, and they're live in studio here on WGN. Whenever you guys are ready, take it.
All right. 2, 3, 4.
Fly to the fire like a moth or a soldier. First through the door with a gift in your hand. Put from your mind the candle she's burning. Speed to your purpose, haste to your plan. Blind to your loved ones, deaf to their pleadings. Numb to your instincts, slack in your grasp. From your longings and all of their leadings, free from your fences, captured at last. Flame will not reach you there where you're hiding. It will illumine but not consume. What you hold sacred and what you're protecting, what you must give up to be made new. What you hold sacred and what you're protecting, what you must give up to be made new.
Beautiful. Beautiful, guys. Really, really beautiful. God, the harmonies are so nice. You guys, is that something you guys work on all the time to do the harmonies? Because it really sounds beautiful.
Thanks. It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
Thank you.
Very, very. That's really, really cool stuff. So tell me about the new Americana songwriter revival and how you guys got involved in that, because it's next Friday, November 16th, at Pheasant Run.
Yeah, Shadow Fields, the fantastically talented band that I think you're having on next week.
Next week, yes. They'll be in studio, yeah.
They're sort of the instigators, and they pulled us in and know Gabriel and wanted to sort of bring a night of original music and Americana out to Pheasant Run, and we're excited to be part of that.
Yeah.
Both because it's a great bill, and it's fun to do a show like this out there and trying to sort of build a community up around original Americana.
Yeah. And that's been your focus as a band from the get-go, that type of music.
Yep.
Is that so what did you grow up listening to, Steve, mostly?
Yeah, again, sort of, you know, Motown, R&B. I got really into to sort of blues. I lived in Mississippi for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
Driving out to R.L. Burnside's house with packages of Coors Light to try to get guitar lessons from him. And, which, generally, that was the formula.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that was basically what you grew up with. So, now, Claire, when you moved here to Deerfield, how long did you live in Deerfield, by the way?
Just for college, 4 years.
Okay, and yeah. Then you moved into the city proper? Or?
Evanston for 3 years, and then Rogers Park.
Then Rogers Park, okay. Yeah. And that's where you are now?
Yep.
Yeah, you guys are in Rogers Park, great.
Yeah.
So tell me about how, you know, you got into music here in America and here in the Chicagoland area.
That's a good question. What did I get into in America? Oh, Sigur Rós was like one of my most poignant. I went there with my brother when they... The album with the alien baby. Mm-hmm. I don't know which album that's called, but
I think it's Alien Baby.
Oh man, it rocked my world. So that that concert was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I don't know. Can't think right now. But yeah, that was a big one.
But you knew you wanted to sing though.
Yeah, I did. I kind of thought it was a pipe dream though. So I was like, that's not a real job. So I should probably do something different.
What was the first gig you had? Can you remember the first gig you had?
I played at an open mic at Uncommon Ground. Probably that was my first. I mean, I played in college at this like art kind of night.
Just you and a guitar?
Yeah. And sometimes my friend with the violin, but yeah. Uncommon Ground. I was forced. It was like my birthday, and my friends forced me to sing a song.
Was it original or?
Yeah.
It was an original that you wrote.
I was going to Old Town School of Folk to learn how to write, and.
Well, that's the best place. That's the best place to go.
Oh, it was great.
The people that come out of that place. Oh my God, the talent that goes through the hallways at that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely incredible.
That's beautiful space too.
Yeah,
so
very very cool. Yeah. So is this the first band that you have been in? Because is it just you kind of solo before that?
You had a band.
I have a T-shirt of your band, so
band.
I know it existed.
That's true. I did have a band for a little bit.
What was the name of the band?
We were called Branches.
Branches.
Mm-hmm.
How long did that last?
Less than a year, probably. I don't really know. I don't remember.
The T-shirt is super orange.
Super orange.
It is.
Or light blue.
Those were the two choices.
No one guided me in that process.
Except maybe a New York Met. But
yeah.
good for bicycling. If you want to stay safe.
If you want to stay safe, there you go. Trick or treating, you can wear that,
exactly.
And you'll be all good. All right, guys, hang on. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk more and hear another song. We are talking with Steve Hendershot, Claire Hendershot, and Charles Murphy, who are members of the band The Diving Bell. They'll be playing at the new Americana Songwriter Revival, which is on Friday, November 16th at Pheasant Run. You can check out divingbellmusic.com for more information, and we have a link on our Facebook page. All right, guys, hang on. We're going to take a break and more after this.
First great submarine sank down in that dark machine, oh yeah. Oh, we dove where no one had before, breathing on the ocean floor.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. And that was music from The Diving Bell, who are playing at the New Americana Songwriter Revival next Friday, the 16th, at Pheasant Run. You can check out divingbellmusic.com. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We have Steve, Claire, and Charles, all members of the Diving Bell. So do you guys in general enjoy the recording process? And do you prefer the recording process or the gig, the playing out?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
I know they're two different animals, but you know, what do you like about it? Each everybody just, you know, whoever
they both have their merit. I mean, there's something live and the energy in a room and the sometimes terror, but it's like this, you know, the exchange is really great. But a recording studio is fun to get lost in, just to like go deep down and, you know, a million takes and like, what if we added a ding right? Yeah. You know?
Where do you guys record your stuff?
I was going to say, there's a big difference there too, because I remember the first time we recorded with Charles was at CRC here in Chicago, and it was very like, you have 8 hours for everybody to get their parts down, and that's where the song's going to come from. That's not true. The getting lost in a million takes thing, where that's sort of like the glory of the home studio or the producer's studio. Mm-hmm. The EP that you've been playing tracks off from, we went to my uncle's cabin in Lawton, Michigan, and did it all in a weekend, but just...
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, the technology nowadays is just, you know, insane. You know, I just saw the terrible Queen movie, the Bohemian Rhapsody, which is awful because it's all lies. It's just it's not even close to being accurate with how Freddie Mercury lived, and they do some really unforgivable stuff. Like they actually take his AIDS diagnosis and move it 2 years earlier so that they can use it as a way to make the Live Aid performance more emotional.
Oh wow!
And that's unforgivable. It's unforgivable. But anyway, they do show you know, the recording of the song of some of the songs and you know, Bohemian Rhapsody, and how they had to do that with the reel to reel and the like an 8 track and you know, you've heard that song, you've heard the vocals and how many layers of music it's ridiculous. And they did actually show like how they did it in the, you know, the size of the machines and everything, and now people can do it on their phone.
It's just
mind-blowing. So you know, I always ask this, and I'm sure I asked you guys this the last time you were here, but I always ask two questions of musicians when I have them in, and it's the generic question that I ask. I'll go down the line here. So, Charles, what was the first album you ever bought? just
The Simpsons Sing the Blues.
Come on, really? Yeah. That's one of the best answers we've ever had, Dan, don't you think?
That is fantastic.
That's one of the best answers we've ever had to that question. The Simpsons Sing the Blues. Yeah. Sure, your
it
family,
was an orange tape, I think.
I'm sure your family was thrilled that was the first one you bought. Yeah, the history of music that you guys have in your family.
Yeah, exactly.
He went out and bought a Simpsons album?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Steve, what about you?
At least do something about Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, exactly.
Heavy D and the Boys.
Yeah!
That's awesome.
Now that we found love, what are we going to do? Okay, and Claire?
possibly African pop. Just a generic African pop.
Oh, just an African. Oh, I see. Okay.
Sampler.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like now, cool. This is African pop.
Something like that. Exactly.
Okay, and Charles, first concert you ever saw?
James Taylor.
Okay, and Steve?
Temptations.
Ooh, nice, nice one. Nice one. Boy, you're all over the map, man. Heavy D, Temptations. All right, and Claire?
I don't remember exactly, but that, I don't know.
Was it overseas, or was it?
It was overseas, and I was like a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
K-pop, J-pop.
Yeah, there's no K-pop.
No K-pop then? Sorry. No, okay. All right. Well, let's hear another song. This is The Diving Bell, and you guys are terrific, and it's fun having you here, and I want to hear another song. What song are we going to hear now?
It's called Unholy Ghosts.
Unholy Ghosts. All right. All right. This is The Diving Bell live on WGN, everybody.
One, two, three, four.
We were first to our own funeral. Couldn't wait to get it on. See them shed a tear or nod and read Lord Tennyson. Break a glass to mourn our passing. At the Turf Club in St. Paul. There to pick it up or grieve our calling. We were just unholy ghosts, haunted by our dreams and scary to ourselves. Only scary to ourselves. Even if you didn't overdose at 27, you could still die young. Even if you sort of found a way to make a living, it could still get done. You can just breathe out your great concession. We were just done. Holy Ghost, haunted by our dreams and boasts, only scary to ourselves.
Beautiful, you guys. Really, really, really beautiful. Beautiful. Go see these guys at the Diving Bell. They'll be performing at the New Americana Songwriter Revival next Friday the 16th at Pheasant Run. Shadowfields and Noah Gabriel also on the bill. Shadowfields will be joining us live in studio next week. Have a great time at the gig. And it was so, you guys are just great, man. I love listening to you guys. You're terrific.
Thanks.
So we'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we're here until 5 o'clock, and we're going to celebrate Vic Vaughn's birthday a little bit later on, and yeah, so that's what's happening. It's Friday. We got all of our regular Friday features: Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, and 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text and for your Fly Jam requests. And look who's here! It's Esmeralda Leon.
They can't look. Well, they can actually.
Can they? There's a camera right there.
There you go. Never mind.
Right there for the thing. Hi.
Hi.
It's great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
I miss you.
Oh.
I do.
Me too.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
How are you?
All right. How you been?
Good.
Busy?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Sleeping. Okay, thanks for coming.
All right, bye. Good talk.
Yeah. So, how are you keeping busy?
Yes.
What else are you doing? You're living a normal, regular day, you know, regular
day
life.
This is a bit of a, this is going to be, not a struggle, but it's going to be difficult.
Because you completely have switched back to normal.
Yeah. I have a regular people job that starts at 6 a.m. So.
Do you have to go to it today?
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's close to here, so.
Well, because you're
I can just walk over.
You can walk over there because we're done at 5.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long day for you.
It's a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Can you fall asleep at work?
No.
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 Can't just go off into a corner somewhere?
No, it's not. No, it's not like here where I had very long breaks.
No.
Where I worked 1 minute.
Yeah.
And then
you have long breaks. So you could go off and sleep if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so much at your
real person job.
Yeah, no, this is constant movement.
Okay, all right. How's V doing?
He's good.
Yeah?
He's doing well.
You guys been, you almost killed yourself right there. Have you guys been seeing any movies? Yeah, because I know
we saw Old Times, Scary Times at the El Royale.
Oh, you're one of the only people that's bad times at the El Royale.
Yeah.
I loved that movie.
Was okay,
and nobody went to see it.
Yeah,
I mean Jeff Bridges is in it, so of course I'm determined to like it because he's my favorite actor.
I enjoyed it, but I thought it was a bit slow.
It's long. It's almost 2.5 hours long.
I thought I was just like their stories are going a little too much.
Yeah,
you could cut a little bit out.
You know who was hilarious in it?
Hmm.
John Hamm.
Yeah,
not a shocker.
He's good, yeah.
Because he's great. But I just really thought he was funny in that.
His face? Really did I did hate him?
The Chris Hemsworth. He's great in
it. I did not like him.
No. It was the thing that I liked about that movie was that. And Eric and I when Eric and I reviewed it, we pulled the same thing from it. It's kind of like all of the bad things that happened in the '60s all converge. into this one hotel. Yeah. And, because he's like the Charles Manson kind of character and all that stuff. And there's Vietnam stuff in it. And there's wiretapping and all kinds of that kind of stuff. And it's, I just thought, I just thought Bridges was great. I thought Bridges, and I'm blanking on the singer's name. I have no idea. So good.
No idea what her name was.
And the two of them together, they were great.
No, it was, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges made me sad for him.
Yeah.
The whole memory. I was like, oh.
I know. He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so good. I was, you know, Alec Baldwin now has a new talk show.
I think I know that, yes.
And it's like a one-on-one with Alec Baldwin. There's no studio audience or.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, and so it's set up like kind of like the old Bob Costas show where it's like just one on one, and so he had Bridges on, and Jeff Bridges, and it was great. I mean, it was it was because he's just like so
because he's the dude.
He is. He's just so laid back. And, yeah. Oh yeah, man, that's cool, man. And so they were talking about because inevitably when you interview Jeff Bridges, Lebowski comes up,
right?
Which is weird. To me, because I love it. It's great. He's awesome in it. But when that movie came out, it tanked. Like when The Big Lebowski came out, people didn't like it. And
but that's what people think of him now.
They think he's the dude. And
there's
like
no other.
And everybody loves that movie now.
Yeah.
But I remember when it came out, people. I went with like four people, and they were all like, "What the hell was that?"
Yeah, I could see.
And
I
then,
could understand people not getting.
Yeah,
it.
No, and especially because that was the Coens. The Coens follow up to Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
So they had just won the Academy Award and all that stuff. And then here's this weird pot bowling movie, But Bridges is like, yeah, man, it's just a great movie, man. I like working with the brothers.
I mean, and now there's fests, Lebowski Fest
yeah.
and all that stuff.
He plays at Lebowski Fest, his band. Jeff Bridges shows up and he's like, he's just revered as a god. Like he shows up and like, people,
but they do it in don't they do it in different cities? Yeah,
all over the country.
He doesn't go to
No. He's gone. He and Buscemi and Goodman went together once, and he's gone a couple of times solo.
Oh,
but
okay.
when he and Buscemi and Goodman showed up, the place was just like,
oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
yeah,
completely insane. But yeah, it's interesting that that's the movie you saw because no one saw Bad Times.
Why did we? Well, he's always wanting to watch movies.
Yeah.
And I can't.
Does he still put the laptop in front of your face while you're...
No,
he doesn't.
That movie is still sitting out on our TV stand.
What was the movie that he wanted to watch?
Oh, man. The Daredevil movie with... not the one about the Evel Knievel spoof with the
Lonely Island guys. Oh, yeah. Andy Samberg.
What's it called?
Superstar? No, Superstar was the Mary Catherine Gallagher movie.
I can't remember
the name of it either.
Something about... He's like an Evel Knievel.
Right.
Dummy.
And Ian McShane plays his dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he hasn't done that yet. But he's always wanting to watch a movie, and I will inevitably fall asleep, especially now that I try to go to bed fairly early.
Right.
At least like 10 o'clock, 11, which is, that's even late for when I have to get up.
Yeah.
So it'll be like 9:30. He's like, let's watch a movie. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to fall asleep.
Hot Rod.
Yes. There you go. Hot Rod.
So he wanted you to watch Hot Rod.
Yeah. He's like, I just put it on. And I was like, in front of me, though? Like, yeah. Right in front of my face. It was weird enticement.
Are you catching up on any TV or streaming or anything?
We've only watched Sabrina.
I hear it's weird.
I've been watching Sabrina. Yeah, it's weird, but now we're starting to get over it.
Are you?
She's a bit... It's this whole thing where she is... So it's from the Archie comics.
Yeah.
So she is half mortal, half witch. And in it, it's very dark.
That's what...
Compared to Dan
Feinberg reviewed it for us, and he talked about how weird and dark it is. Yeah.
She's a bit much.
Yeah. Because
she's a teenage girl. And at the point where we are, she's trying to fight the devil. And all these things keep happening where they work in her favor.
Oh, okay.
Where normally it wouldn't. Like, things... Like, you know, there's a rule. Oh, she doesn't follow that rule. It's fine. It's like, really?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Are they hour-long episodes or are they half hour?
Oof. I think they're hour.
Yeah.
But it's that kind of stuff. I'm like, ugh, she's a teenage girl.
Well, she's Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Right. So well, it's annoying.
It's as far removed. Is there a wacky talking cat?
No.
No wacky talking cat.
Which is annoying because I loved Salem and his wittiness.
And you have no Caroline Ray.
No, but there is a character. The little goofy, like, ooh.
Yeah.
Nice aunt. But, yeah, it's no Caroline Ray.
This is really funny. I was hanging out with my future ex-wife,
Dani
DiLorenzo. Mm-hmm. We spent, like, an entire, like, day and night together. She was in town for a wedding, and we hung out, like, mm-hmm. forever. And she was like... You know, we were hanging out in a room, and she was listening to, I like bread and butter, he likes toast and jam. You know that song?
Yes.
Okay, and she's like...
Where did the what?
Well, there's...
Just put it on?
Because she had like a soul mix or something on her phone, on her Spotify, or whatever the hell it was. So anyway, we're listening to it, and she's like, you know, there was a show that was on in the 90s, like right around that time we're talking mm-hmm. about, and she's like, and I used to watch it, it was like a TGIF show, and it had this song as the opening credits. And I immediately was like, well, maybe Esmeralda would know this because you guys are the same age.
Yeah.
And so she's like trying to find it on her phone. And then she found it. And it was the TV show version of Look Who's Talking. You remember the Look Who's Talking movies?
They made a show?
It was called Baby Talk. And she found it, and we watched it on her phone. We watched the opening credits. And it had, she likes bread and butter.
Oh.
And it was part of TGIF. In the 90s.
Oh, man.
And she remembered it. She just didn't remember what show it was.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember. Tony Danza was in it.
Was he a baby?
No, he was like a plumber or something.
Okay.
But the object was that it was the same thing as, you know, because, you know, those Bruce Willis did the voice for the for one of them, and Travolta was in it, and then the dog started talking and in the sequels and all that stuff. So they actually had a TV movie version of it, or a TV version of it.
I mean, I could see that working.
Yeah. And I said, did you watch? I was asking Dana, I'm like, you actually watched this show? She goes, yeah, I did. I don't remember much of it. But it was in that lineup, that classic lineup.
Yeah, I probably did watch it.
Baby Talk.
I was a big TGIF watcher.
Yeah. That's why as
Nothing
soon as we started
going
talking,
on in my life.
As soon as we started talking about Sabrina, that brings you back to that sort of era.
Yes.
Right at that time. And Dana was telling me that, because we were talking about like scary movies and stuff, obviously. And she said that I had her on the show for Halloween just to, you know, talk about scary stuff. And she said that she still has she was still terrified and scarred by an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Which one?
Where the kid is trapped inside like a pinball machine that's in a mall, and he's like trapped in the mall, and he can't get out, and so she has like a fear of malls now.
What? All
Dana
right.
does because she was in. She was the reason why the whole thing came up is because she did a convention in Minnesota, and the convention ended around 9 p.m. and the only restaurant that was open in the area was in the Mall of America.
Oh no!
And she went into the Mall of America, and this was when everything is closed except that restaurant. So it's like this dark crate, and she said she started freaking out.
So now you have that bond.
And it's, yeah, and it's, exactly.
And the bond of malls.
Exactly. And I told my story about the Mall of America, and she freaked out about it. But that show scarred her. Now, do you have a favorite of that show?
You know what? They were all quite frightening.
Yeah.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
For being a kid's show, it was scary. I remember one where he was this, yeah, he was. I would say he was supposed to be in his 20s, I guess. But he was an innkeeper or something like that. And he was, someone moved into maybe the house where he owned, something like that. But he was young, and he stayed young because he kept sucking the souls out of people.
Wow!
And so the person would get very old. So the main
this is kid, a show that's aimed at kids, right?
Yes, aimed at children. Although, well, it wasn't teenagers.
Yeah.
I say teenagers because it was on SNICK.
Oh.
So SNICK, okay. And it was the last show on SNICK.
So
on the whole
late.
Lineup.
It was late.
Yeah, so it was technically late.
Okay.
Because after that, then it was Nick at Night.
Oh, okay. And then it went to the reruns of the old,
right, right.
The old TV shows.
Then Dobie Gillis was on. But yeah, he was sucking the soul out of people. And when they would, when he would suck the soul out of them, they would get really old and
see, that
decrepit.
That seems scary to me now, and I'm in my 50s,
scary.
And that would freak me out.
It is a very frightening show.
Yeah.
It's like those books. Did you ever, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
No.
Did you, Dan, is Dan here?
Yeah, Dan.
I can't turn my head.
What's the matter?
The whole way. No, because then I can't talk.
Oh, okay.
Microphone.
I thought something had your
I'm
neck.
A professional.
All right, okay.
Do you remember those Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
I do. And I did watch, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Do you remember that episode?
I do not remember that episode. I think I may have just washed them all from my memory because
they're scary. Just the intro was frightening.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was a boat. It was just a boat it was at night, and it was just in the water, kind of going back and forth, you know, from the waves.
Uh-huh.
And then the eerie music.
I don't,
it was just a shot of this boat. And it's,
yeah,
frightening.
I'm much older than you guys in that regard. And so if I were to watch that, I would probably be like, what is this?
You,
I saw The Exorcist
think,
when I was 8.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think even if you were a teenager and watching this, you would have been fine.
Yeah, absolutely. By the time I was a teenager, I'd seen every kind of disgusting thing possible.
But have you seen those books, The Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
No.
The artwork, they've changed it since, and it's not as frightening. But if you look at the ones from the 90s and, you know, before that, so scary. The
really?
Artwork
just
itself
the artwork for the books
is frightening. Wow. You can look it up. Look
okay.
it up in the break.
I will.
It's
all right.
Scary.
Speaking of the break, that's what we have to do. Look at that, Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
Always a professional still. Esmeralda Leon is here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're going to celebrate Vic's birthday, Esmeralda.
Yay! That's
gonna be
what?
Awesome.
That's what I'm here for?
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, Skip Skipley's on the way.
Oh, good.
The cats are forming. And
yes.
And Bong Marine is moving along.
Oh, good.
So there you go. All right, we'll take a break and more with Esmeralda throughout the morning here. And all the Friday features are coming up. But so.
Yeah. And then imagine a boat in the water.
This is Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah. It would just be scenes of things with in the dark. No one's there, but it's moving.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And then it goes the there's the stories, but then before that was the kids that would tell the stories, their secret midnight society, which is really stupid. That was the most unscary part of the entire thing. Yeah, there's these teenagers telling stories.
Were they like around a campfire?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they would throw some fairy dust or something into the fire to make
Dan's shaking his head here.
It would make like a whoosh. And then, you know, they'd go into the story.
Wow. By the way, it's Nick DiGilio. We're back. That's Esmeralda Leon, who's joining us this morning, staying until 5. Skip Skipley's on the way. We're going to have a For the Record, which means the cats will get to hear you sing again.
Oh, good.
They've been outside going, where the hell is she?
They just wander.
They're
here.
They just come out. They're like, what's going on, man? We are in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 o'clock. Friday features are coming up. Esmeralda, you're going to pick the bumps for the fly jams.
Oh, okay.
All right. Or we can go back to that. Dan, you still have the list of the first.
Like, I got to think about this.
The first day that she picked the songs?
Yeah, we could do it. Well, t- Depending on what we might also have a special request in honor of the birthday boy.
Oh, for the birthday boy. That's right. Yeah. Okay. It's Vic Vaughn's birthday, everybody, tomorrow. And so we're going to celebrate that after the 4:30 news. He's going to come in here and we're going to hang out with him. By the way, I did look up, as you told me to do, the visuals for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah.
And they're terrifying.
They
I can't, I mean, they're really,
terrifying.
Really creepy. And these are kid. These were kids' books, right?
Yes. Yeah.
These are really scary. The images are very, very creepy. I can see why you guys were traumatized by
we had that
and the TV show.
Yeah,
and
it's too much.
Yeah. So, and this all came about because we were talking about how you're watching the reboot of the Sabrina.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of scary, by the way, I ended up loving the Suspiria remake.
I saw that. I was like, what is going on?
I was like, what? And I, but because it's completely different.
Oh, okay.
And you
so
know,
how is it? It's just the like kind of the basic story.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like girl goes to Germany to study at dance studio witches.
Okay.
That's essentially the plot of Suspiria, the original Suspiria, because
it's not a shot for shot.
No, not even close. And it's the score, which is so iconic, the goblin score from the original movies. Tommy York did the score for this, and it's really it's very Radiohead-ish,
right?
Shockingly.
So do you not have a problem with them taking that story?
Here's the thing. The director said that he wanted to make a movie. That movie, the original Suspiria, meant so much to him. Like, it was a movie that really, he saw it as a teenager. And like me, like completely traumatized me. And he wanted to make a movie. His quote is that he wanted to make a movie that felt like he felt while watching Suspiria.
Mm.
And so he took the basic plot and he expanded it and made it political. There's all kinds of other stuff going on, and it's about female empowerment. Mm-hmm. It's an hour longer than the original Suspiria. It's two and a half hours long.
Is Suspiria is that the one with the what's that stuff they put around
barbed wire? That's there. Happens
to
be.
Is there like an equal?
No.
Disgusting.
Well, no. The last 15 minutes of of this version is just like, huh? Like, it's bat crap crazy, I'm telling you.
Good.
And there's one scene about 40 minutes in where Dakota Johnson's character first dances for Tilda Swinton, who runs the dance studio, and something is happening to another girl in a different dance studio at the same time that is triggered by Dakota Johnson's dancing.
Okay.
I mean, that scene is like, if you're still on board after that scene, then it's like, hey. So it's as far R-rated and gross and crazy as you can get.
Boy.
I thought it was great. And I went in, you know how I...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were
And I hated the new Halloween movie. So it's like complete opposite. Complete opposite. I was actually looking forward to the Halloween movie and I was going to hate Suspiria. It was the opposite.
Mm.
So that's the scary stuff that's out there. I know you love it.
No.
I know. All right, we have to... You know why? Because you were traumatized by these damn things. That's what it is.
I don't like scary things.
Right. Okay. I think it's because when you were watching all this stuff and reading the scary stories with the books,
but then it's like, and now go to bed. Come on.
All right. Okay. All right. Hang on, okay? We got a break for the news here. Esmeralda Leon is here, and we'll be back. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. And I'm looking out the window here on the out of the Skyline Studios here, 18 stories up. The streets are a little wet. There's no snow yet.
Right. It looks like the streets have been sprayed down for a movie.
That's exactly what it looks like. It looks like a scene from Thief.
Yeah.
That's
No one knows what that is. No.
People who listen to my show know what it is. That movie was shot in Chicago, Thief.
Oh.
And it has one of, you know, when I was a drinking man, it has one of the saddest moments in the history of film in it.
What was that?
They blow up the Green Mill.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm like, what?
Oh.
Yeah, because James Caan, who plays Thief, he owns the Green Mill in the movie.
How do they just blow up just that section?
They blow the whole front of the Green Mill gets exploded. The whole thing blows out.
No, I was going to say, because it's got all those other
attached. It's just that one. It's just
that perfect little square.
Boom, but it explodes like crazy. The whole thing explodes.
Oh.
I mean, it's obviously, you know, done with special effects and stuff.
Yeah.
But this was a movie that was shot in 1980. But still, you know, I don't want to see the Green Mill blow up.
Right. It's
a lot of friends in there.
You're just like, no, Bob.
So, anyway. But, yeah, the streets are a little bit wet out there, but no snow is coming down just
yet. Yeah, not yet.
We'll keep an eye on that.
At least in the city now.
Esmeralda, you'll be doing traffic a little bit later when the snow starts coming down. Oh, okay.
It's all Vic.
That's Vic is going to have to handle that. All right. I mean, the weird thing is, like, it's, I guess it's not supposed to turn into snow, you know, accumulating snow until Mary's shift starts. So
yeah,
that's going to be
good luck, Mary.
She's going to be very happy about that.
She's going to work today.
It's one of those mornings. One of those mornings. It's Esmeralda Leon is here, and we were just playing catch up here. You were born in what, 83?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dan, you were born in 81, right?
Yep.
I have world famous companies that started the year you were born.
Oh.
So let's start with you, Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
83. What company? Oh. Oh. You ready?
Yes.
Did you want to guess?
No.
1983. What company started?
I can't even fathom.
Oh, let me just say this. I have an email address with this company. I should say
AOL?
Yes, AOL was founded.
What was it even doing?
AOL traces its roots back to 1983 when entrepreneur William von Meister. William von Meister.
All right.
Founded Control Video Corporation, an online service for Atari. So that's how it started. In 1989, the firm changed its name to America Online and went on to pioneer the use of the internet in American homes during the 90s before it lost the bulk of its market share as a result of a switch from dial-up to broadband.
Right. Yeah, the second that you didn't need AOL to get into the internet.
Yeah.
They were done for.
You remember the discs? Mm-hmm. That you would get, like, it's 50 hours of free AOL.
I mean, that's how I kept getting free AOL.
Was
using the discs.
Using those discs, yeah.
Yeah, I just kept getting, you know, free trial memberships.
Well, we can all thank William von Meester.
Thanks, Bill.
Bill Veester. Bill von Veester Meester.
Oh. Because who did they sell it to?
I don't know.
Right? Because it didn't get sold?
It did. Oh, you know what? AOL was sold to...
Time Warner.
Time Warner.
Yeah, so that dude's on a beach somewhere.
Yeah.
Doing
William
nothing.
Von Meester. So, Control Video Corp.
I kind of miss the AOL front page. Because it used to have all those... just like chat rooms and weird
they would pop up in the... Yeah.
Well, just the groupings.
Yeah. Now, if you go to AOL, because I... have an email account with AOL, and I always check in. You go to the front page, and it's like basic news stories and all that.
That's not fun.
It's the generic search engine front page.
Yeah, I used to go to one. It was for entertainment movies stuff, and it was something Asylum. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
and they had chat rooms where they would hold game show thingies, trivia stuff. And I actually won a t-shirt from
them. Did you?
That I still own today.
What t-shirt for what? Was it?
I think I answered a question right.
What is it, the t-shirt?
Something. It's just a t-shirt with their logo.
Oh, with the logo on it. Okay.
It's whatever Asylum. Man, it might have just been Entertainment Asylum.
I remember the Asylum part.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was AOL Instant Messenger.
It
would pop up.
Yeah, that was on its own.
Yeah.
Because that's for me, at least in college, that's how we communicated.
Was through AOL Messenger?
Yes. You would just keep it up because we were living in the broadband.
Right.
T-1400 or whatever broadband at the time.
Yeah.
So we had, you would just keep it up and as you're away.
I would have it up during my show.
Yeah.
I would have it up like in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I would have it up because Steve and Johnny had an AOL account. Eric Childress, who still has an AOL email address.
Yeah.
They could communicate with me, you know.
I'm kind of sad that the AOL AIM is gone.
AIM. That's right. AIM. That's right. Dan, did you have experiences with Mr. Von Meister's company?
His fine company, yes. Many a college flirtation happened over AIM.
How many of your away messages were song lyrics?
Oh, a lot of them were. A lot of song lyrics.
So stupid. You always put like a big, like, just song lyrics. It didn't even make sense for an away message.
Did you have a MySpace page?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, what were your songs? Did you have songs on there?
I did. I had a cover of Wicked Games by somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know who.
That was like, so when you went to Esmeralda's MySpace page, you would hear that song.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have the pictures. And who were your top friends? Did you rank?
I did. I couldn't tell you. I think it was just people that I knew.
Yeah.
I had a friend who she got into it. She learned how to code. Because you could really zhuzh up your MySpace if you knew how.
Yeah.
I just went basic. I had, whatever they offered.
I put some stuff up. My ex Heather was into it and mm-hmm. was good at like designing the pages and stuff. And so I did a full on like for a little while I just did a full on Magnolia.
Would frogs
rain down. It would be wow. and Wise Up would play when you would
mm-hmm. Oh boy.
And the picture wasn't a picture of me, it was a picture of Claudia, the main character, and people would go, come on man. It's just Wise Up. I got to hear this while I'm visiting your page. I got to be depressed now.
So MySpace was weird.
You know, it was. And I mean obviously it led to
Facebook
and all that stuff, but I you know what's really kind of makes me sad is that the late great George Romero, the mm-hmm. inventor of the fantastic zombie genre, one of his best movies is a movie called Diary of the Dead, and it was made in 2000. It was shot in 2007 and was released in early 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a movie. It's a great movie. It was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
In a movie that was made over 10 years ago, and what it says about social media and the use of it,
mm-hmm.
way ahead of its time. I mean, it's what's happening now was predicted in that movie in a lot of ways. The thing is, so it's about these you know it's a reboot of the zombie apocalypse. It's not a sequel. It's the first night of the zombie apocalypse, like the 1968 movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So he rebooted the whole thing. And they were. It's an amateur college filmmaking. People from college are making a film, a horror mm-hmm. movie, and they're editing it on laptops. They're putting it all together, and the zombie apocalypse happens. And the main character, the guy who's directing the movie, decides that he wants to document everything that's happening. He's going to make a documentary, and call it. It was called Document of the Dead, and mm-hmm. he's going to do that. And He in the movie, it has all this, social media stuff and news and everything that is permeating the world right now. But unfortunately, the main character in the movie, as you watch it, is using MySpace.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. Like, you watch it now and you're like, George, you were so on the money, except for the MySpace thing. Because it's like he had to stop and he's editing things on his MySpace page and posting them and looking at how many hits he's getting and stuff. And it's just every time the MySpace logo pops up, you're like, oh, man, George.
Did you even have – was there even a way to see that stuff other than going to this person's page?
I don't remember.
Like, I don't think there was like a timeline-like thing.
No, there wasn't. I think you had to go to the person's page, but
wow, that says a lot.
Yeah.
Because that means like, I want to know exactly what is happening with this person.
Right. Well, and also in the movie, it made sense because everybody wanted to know what was happening with the zombie thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was posting stuff as it happened.
Yeah.
So people were going to his page and he was getting like hit after hit.
So many MySpace hits.
But the movie, again, it really, really works. But the moment they cut to a MySpace thing, it takes you right out. I'm like, oh man, George.
I mean, MySpace is still around.
It is, but
it's useless.
I mean, George Romero got it. He got it all right. He predicted everything except for the MySpace part. That's the rest of it is perfect. So, all right, Dan, you were born in 81, right?
Yes.
Okay, and here is your company that got started, Bloomberg.
Ah,
the leading financial software, data, and media company was founded in 1981 in New York by Michael Bloomberg, who used the cash he'd garnered from the sale of the Salomon Brothers to fund the business. A resounding success, the firm now has 192 offices worldwide, turning over billions of dollars a year. Bloomberg.
Wait,
and I also support a pop tax.
Yeah, that works.
Is this just the news people? Bloomberg? No.
Yeah. He went on to form the channel.
All right.
Potential presidential candidate.
Yeah, potential presidential candidate this week. Oh.
Who is he dating?
I don't know.
Is he dating she's the lady who cooks things, Sandra?
Oh god, her?
I think so.
Oh god.
One of them does. One of the governors. He was a governor.
Dating her, Sam, what the hell was her? She's the worst.
Half homemade.
She's the worst.
I want to say that was her.
I got Deanna Taylor.
Oh,
she might be.
It was somebody.
What the hell is her last name? Sarah.
Sandra.
Sandra. It's Sandra. Sandra something.
What's the name of the show?
half homemade. Homemade.
Oh God, the half, cheese. Half. Just
semi homemade cooking.
Semi homemade
with Sandra Lee.
Sandra Lee.
She's dating / married to some political New
well,
York.
Well, he's getting the worst meals of his life. That's
he's
all
getting
I can
Kwanzaa
tell.
Cake.
She is the. She, I. Oh my God, was she? She without question, Esmeralda.
Yeah, some of that stuff was real sad.
The worst host in the history of the Food Network, and I'm including Rachel Ray, who I hate.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow. She is married to Andrew Cuomo.
There it is.
Oh, okay.
And he eats out a lot. That's all I'm saying. They get a lot of take in. They get a take out. All right. Well, we're going to break. When we come back, we'll find out what company was discovered, was founded in the year I was born.
Oh.
Ancient times.
Oh, so the wheel company?
The fire.
I don't know. Fire Inc.
Is that? Exactly. All right, let's take a break. It's Nick DiGilio here. If you just want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. If you just want to say hello to Esmeralda, she's here for the rest of the show. 312-981-7200, and Skip Skipley is on the way for more. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're back. And after the 3 o'clock news, we will be having a visit from the one and only Skip Skipley. Because Esmeralda Leon is here. And we're going to play a little For the Record. And we're going to get to hear Esmeralda sing. And the cats have already gathered outside. They're ready to go. They're wading through the sleet right now just because they want to hear you. The cats are out there in the sleet.
Aw, they sound like they're waiting for a concert.
They are.
Oh.
They've got lighters and everything.
Oh, they have little tents.
They have little tents.
Come on. They're wearing little coats, little puffy jackets.
By the way, how's Smokey doing?
She's good.
Yeah?
She, actually, it's funny. Today I saw her. We were cleaning because we're having a friend from California come visit. And we have her.
Is it John Tesh?
Yes, yes. I didn't want to say anything. Tash is going to be sleeping on my couch.
By the way, I got to say this. Hold on, Esmeralda. You know how this works. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, you have a friend coming in.
Yeah, so we have her carrier just sitting out, and it's by the heaters, and we found her today just in the carrier lounging in her own sauna. Essentially,
yeah.
Because it's right by the heater, so it's
cats love that
straight away.
Cats love that stuff.
It was too cute though. Yeah. She's just in there, like. Eh.
You know, it's funny. We had when I was living with Heather, and we had Coconut Head, the Nut, as I called him. The carrier was something that he hated because it meant I'm going to the vet,
right?
And
that's what
a lot of cats associate that they hate the carrier.
Yeah, she never gets in it, so we were amazed
to see that's what you know. The Nut was a big fat lazy cat,
mm-hmm.
And so
same.
We had the carrier, and I guess we brought him to the vet or something, and we left the carrier out in the cage, and then suddenly he was like, oh, it's a good place.
This isn't bad.
Yeah, and then he just would hang out in there all the time. It was like he completely changed his mind from this thing is terrifying to I can be fat and lazy.
Yeah,
here.
I think it's once you shut the door and then start carrying it around.
Right,
that's when they freak out.
That's when they start freaking out. But the cat's okay.
Yeah, she's good.
All right, very cool. All right. We're going to find out what company. What company was founded? I was born in 1965.
AD. BC?
I think so.
Or AD? Nah, that wasn't the joke.
No.
Ruined.
I like this one. This is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolby Laboratories opened up.
Oh, like the speakers?
Dolby Sound, yeah.
Oh.
The company that revolutionized cinema sound and consumer audio devices was founded in London in May of 1965 by American engineer Ray Dolby. The firm decamped to the United States and set up a camp in San Francisco in 1967 and began selling its audio technologies to the movie industry. As of January 2017, Dolby Laboratories has an annual turnover of $1.3 billion.
Goodness. Very appropriate for you.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's oddly appropriate. What year was Vic born? And it's his birthday. Do we know what year? Vic, can you jump to the mic real quick and we'll find out what year you were born? Because we're going to celebrate his birthday.
He's working.
I know he's working. He's working all the time. He's a hardworking gentleman. I just don't know. I can't remember.
I couldn't tell you. So, I don't know.
I think sometime in the 70s
Yeah,
would be my guess, yeah. So
no idea.
Okay. Well, we'll find out because we're going to celebrate.
Out for a second.
Okay. All right. You know. Okay. Let's just. Oh, there he is, Vic. Real quick. What year were you born, Vic?
I like how he's looking around like he has no clue what is happening. There's a microphone there, Vic.
What's up?
What year were you born?
71.
71. Would you like to know what company opened started in 71? I had Dolby Sound. Esmeralda, you had AOL.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Dan had Bloomberg. Dan had Bloomberg.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. Well, 71.
71. Mm. This is really surprising.
You know what was booming in 71?
What?
The cigarette business.
Well,
all right.
Yeah, it was. It was. But no, you're going to. Are you ready?
Yeah.
1971, Starbucks.
Whoa.
Really?
Was founded in 1971. Starbucks coffee houses are ubiquitous these days, but the firm had very humble beginnings. The first Starbucks was opened by University of San Francisco grads Jerry Baldwin, Gordon Bowker, and Zev Ziegel.
Do you see the connection here? I was growing up right outside San Francisco at that time.
Well, it opened in Seattle.
I thought you just said the
they're University of San Francisco grads.
Well, I knew they opened in Seattle, but they're from San Francisco.
Right, they're from San Francisco.
I'm reaching here, but come on, work with me.
And in Seattle, it opened up in 71, and it just sold coffee beans. That's it, just coffee beans. You fast forward to 2017, Starbucks has 24,464 outlets worldwide, generating an annual turnover of $21.3 billion.
Sorry, it didn't work out, Starbucks.
Yeah. $21.3 billion, that's about five cups of coffee, right?
Yes. Yep. Exactly. No,
I'm actually going to get a loan after work to go and get a cup of coffee.
Because that's what you have to do in order to afford. Well, there you go. You had Starbucks. I had Dolby. Esmeralda had AOL, and Dan, you had Bloomberg. That's fun.
They're all really good companies. Is AOL still around? They're not around.
Yeah, I still have an email address for AOL.
I don't know what they do now.
I do.
But...
I do.
Wow.
I still have an AOL.
How do they make money from
I don't know
them?
What they...
I don't know. They're, you know, essentially, some people use it as a search engine.
Ugh.
I don't know.
I do that if I can't find it on Bing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm using Ask Jeeves.
Oh, I love Ask. No, it's just Ask now, right? They got rid of the Jeeves.
Now.
Okay, you got to write some news because your news is supposed to be coming up in just a couple of minutes anyway.
They changed it to just, well, that's dumb.
Yeah, no more Jeeves. It is no more Butler.
That was the best part.
I know.
The only reason I'd go there.
What was the line that Jerry Seinfeld had where it's like, you know, if you name your kid Jeeves, I believe you've pretty much said you pretty much know what he's going to do for a living. So, all right, hang on. All right, we're going to break, and we got the news coming up, and then we'll have Skip Skipley here, and we'll play a little For the Record and much more fun stuff here. Esmeralda is here. If you want to text or call us and say hi to her, it's 312-981-7200. The news will be next. Yeah, man. Welcome back. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. I'm here every weekday morning, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. It's Friday, so that means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up. And after the 4:30 news, we're going to celebrate Vic Vaughn's birthday. Yes. Yes, Vic Vaughn's birthday. Vic Vaughn was born the same year as Starbucks. So.
That sounds so weird.
So, welcome back, everybody. Esmeralda Leon is here with us, and it's great to have you here, Esmeralda.
Oh, thank you.
Can you come back all of next week?
Sure.
Okay, good. We're not going to pay you.
I just won't sleep. It's fine. It's okay.
So Esmeralda is here, which means that we're going to have a little game of... For the Record. Now, for those of you who be regular listeners to the show, you know, we used to do pop-up video, but we ran out of all the playing cards for pop-up video because we played it so often. And now we're going to play For the Record. For the Record is also a 80s and 90s themed music trivia game.
Mm-hmm.
And we also get to hear Esmeralda sing.
Mm.
So that will be coming up in just a couple of minutes, actually. We're going to do that.
I was going to bring you some text, and the printer didn't work. So I will just say, 773, good to have you back, Esmeralda. You complete the show.
Oh.
301, so great to hear Esmeralda on the show. Mark the Breadman, big hello to Esmeralda. Jay, hello, Esmeralda, the Heart Melda.
The Heart Melda.
Oh, yeah.
You become the Heart Melda in a little over an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah, and you get to vote on the dummy.
Great.
Because we've been having a caller call in now.
Yeah, I was going to say
the third vote. We have our first caller.
Up.
Yeah. So, but now you get to vote on the dummy.
All right.
And we've had some good dummies.
Yeah.
These past couple of weeks, been pretty strong. And by the way, Dan, I saw a couple of dummy stories this week. I didn't send them, but there was one in particular that was really dumb.
All right. Well, we'll see.
And we'll see if
this week,
if it popped up. Yeah. If not, I'll send it to you at some point. But this dumb. So dumb.
A big dummy.
Big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did? All right. Hey, Esmeralda, look, can you understand and even comprehend what's happening? And
not if sure, you can not, I?
Look, it's Skip Skipley.
Oh, hey, what? Guys.
Hi, Skip.
Oh, Nick, man. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too, Skip.
I see Esmeralda all the time. She hangs out on the boat.
Yeah.
Are you hanging out on the Bong Marine?
I got time.
Oh, okay. Oh, listen to this, by the way. Skip, you already know this because you listen to the show all the time.
All the time, nonstop.
So 2 weeks ago, I got sick on the weekend, and I had to cancel my movie with my parents.
Oh.
Every Saturday, you know, we go to a movie, and tomorrow we're going to go see The Grinch and the girl who has the tattoo and is in the spider web.
Oh, okay. yeah.
So the week that I got sick was the submarine movie with Gerard Butler. So I missed a submarine movie.
Oh, no.
Hunter Killer. I didn't see it, and it's a submarine movie.
I don't think anyone did.
No, nobody did. Nobody did. Colin did.
Yeah.
And reviewed it and didn't think it was very good.
Hey, by the way, are you going to go see, apparently it's in select theaters, and I only know it because I enjoy, and I can't remember his name right now. It's
I'm glad you enjoy this guy that you don't know.
George Lopez is in it. Oh, my gosh.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua?
No. Man, what's his name?
Yeah, what's he do?
Bald guy. He was in Rent.
What? Taye Diggs?
Yes. It's in select theaters.
What
in
is it?
Barrington.
What is it?
I don't know. It's like some cop movie. But George Lopez is in it. Yeah, I only
You're
know
asking
because
me
I
if I'm
going to
go
Taye
see
Diggs.
A Taye Diggs.
You're the movie man.
Taye Diggs, George Lopez movie?
Yeah.
Rivers Run Red. Taye Diggs wants revenge against corrupt cops. Yeah. Also starring John Cusack.
Oh, there's a Hemsworth in there, too.
There's a Cusack is in it?
And it's only playing in Barrington.
Well, I guarantee you that it's already... No, I guarantee you it's on video on demand. I guarantee you, because that's where Cusack's career is right now. Cusack is in the straight-to-video on demand
I'll
movies.
Have to listen if you watch it or if you see it. I don't know when it comes out.
River Runs Through It? What the hell is it called? River in the Village?
No, that stars Bart the Bear, man.
Bart the Bear, that's right. Talking about Bart the Bear yesterday.
Oh,
River Runs Red.
Okay, River Runs
with
Red.
With blood. That's or Kool-Aid. One or the other.
Thank you for looking that up, Skip.
No problem.
He just knew. He loves Taye Diggs.
He follows Taye Diggs. Lopez.
Wow, look at this. When the son of a successful judge, Taye Diggs, is killed by two police officers, Luke Hemsworth and Gianna Cabaldi, and the system sets us free, a hardened veteran detective, John Cusack, finds some incriminating files on the officers, and the judge teams up with another morning father, George Lopez, to take the law into their own hands.
Oh, wow. Taye Diggs and George Lopez are going to go on for revenge?
No, I believe Taye Diggs.
No, Taye Diggs shot them, killed them.
Oh,
they're going after Taye Diggs.
Taye Diggs was the man who was shot.
Oh, Taye Diggs gets killed then.
Yes, so they're avenging Taye Diggs against Thor's brother.
Well, that's...
Thor's brother.
I like how they tell you... What is probably like the...
Taye Diggs is dead within the first 10 minutes of the movie, so there you go. But then you get to see John Cusack. Here's what I've noticed about John Cusack in all of these movies that he's making now that are kind of going straight to video.
Mm.
If you look at like clips from them or trailers from them, mm-hmm. he's always wearing a hat now.
Yeah, because it's probably not looking good up there. Or bandanas.
Always like wearing a hat. Well, he used to wear bandanas all the time.
Yeah, but it looks real stupid.
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
It does
not look good.
Skip Skipley is here, everybody, and For the Record is a music trivia game. And I gotta get the thing.
What? Oh,
I gotta keep score.
Thing?
I gotta keep score. Okay. I forgot how to play this game already. I don't even know what's going on.
Come on, be professional.
All right,
like
I'm being
Skip.
Professional like Skip. All right. So Esmeralda and I will go head to head. yes. in answering trivia questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then whoever has the most points at the end mm-hmm. will win $40 billion.
Oh, good.
And get to ride in a boat with the zombie Ernest Hemingway.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the cats?
Goodness.
And the cats. Oh, yeah. And by the way, he wrestled bears, Ernest Hemingway. So it's all.
People don't think the show is scripted.
Can you? I would like. I'm hoping on the boat trip.
Yeah.
We happen upon a bear that could then wrestle zombie Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah. We can get Bart the Bear the first one. He's dead, so he could be zombie Bart the Bear.
That'll even it out because I'm assuming just body parts will go flying quite easily.
I don't know, man. We'll see. You don't know how tough Ernest Hemingway's zombie is.
I would think that rotting
is
just
I don't know. All right, are we ready?
We are.
All right.
Category is the 80s, Nick.
Yeah.
This family group had a hit in 1985 with Rhythm of the Night. Who were they? DeBarge, The Jacksons, Sister Sledge, or The Osmonds?
That would be DeBarge.
That is correct.
Was Rhythm of the Night, was that in...
Rhythm of the Night. Is that it?
Yeah. Give it into the rhythm of the night. Clearly we know the song, but not the lyrics. Okay.
Esmeralda, the category is the 90s, and it is your question, but it will be Nick's song.
Oh!
Please provide us a line or two from Found Out About You.
Well, Found Out About You, whipping in the spotlight. Found out about, I don't know the words. Found out about, I want to blah, blah, blah. I found out about you. Found out about you. Found out about you. I don't know all the lyrics to that one.
I like that you ended it, like you, what's it called?
You did the natural fade.
Yeah, you faded yourself out there.
If it would have been Hey Jealousy, I would have done much better.
There you go. Well, Esmeralda, what was the name of the band who made that?
That's good because I did not know. Thank you for that clue.
Yep.
Is it the Gin Blossoms?
That is correct.
So I was like, I don't know who that is.
What did they have for choices?
Oh, wait, they have choices. Yeah, that's right.
R.E.M., The Wallflowers, or The Rembrandts?
Rembrandts?
I could have figured it out.
Yeah, you would have got it. Yeah. Definitely. Gin Blossoms, man. Such a great record, such a sad story. So sad. The guy who mm-hmm. wrote all the songs on that album, the lead singer, was a really troubled guy and mm-hmm. a massive alcoholic, and they had to kick him out of the band.
Oh, no.
And then...
And keep his songs?
Yeah, and they released the album, and he died.
Oh, no.
And then they released the album, and it became like this... He killed himself. So all of his music, and he's the singer on that album, all of his music becomes like huge and people are really moved by it and they love it. It's a great record. New mm-hmm. Miserable Experience is a great record. And then the guy passed away. It's just such a sad story. And then they continued. They got a new lead singer. They continued, but mm-hmm. it wasn't nearly as good as that record.
Right.
So anyway, I'm glad I brought everybody down.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Real name? Yeah, and real names is the category. What is the 80s hitmaker Jelly Bean's birth name? Is it Corbin Nelson, Benjamin Larson, John Benitez, or Sugar Daddy? What is Jelly Bean's real name?
Oh.
I'm going to say John Benitez.
You are correct.
You know why? I know that because he dated Madonna.
Oh, all right.
Look at that.
Right at the beginning of her career.
Is it Jelly Beans with an S or a Z?
It's singular.
Jelly Bean.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I only know that because it was like Madonna dated him and they referred to him as Jelly Bean Benitez.
Ah.
Coincidentally, Benitez with a Z at the end.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Should we do one more before we break?
Yes.
Okay.
Esmeralda, categories, you're on stage. Natalie Imbruglia took home the 1998 Billboard Award for Adult Top 40 Track of the Year for what song? Was it Say You'll Be There, Torn, You Were Meant for Me, or How Do I Live?
Torn.
I already, you know, when as soon as he said Natalie Imbruglia, I wrote down Mark. I marked your, I gave you a point because I knew you would. I knew.
Do I get to sing that one?
No, we get a different one.
You got a different one. Specially chosen for birthday boy Vic Vaughn.
Oh, it's specially chosen for birthday boy Vic Vaughn.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break here and we'll come back and we'll have more of For the Record. Skip Skipley just left. He retired, but he'll come back, I hope. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate. Yes.
Mm.
That's where we are. in the Skyline Studios here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, where the streets are just glistening. No snow, but just a little wet. So be careful.
Very
out there.
Shiny.
Shiny, shiny. And, Ezra, look who came back from the thing.
Oh, good.
Hey, it's, guys.
Skip Skipley. Hi, Skip.
Good to be back.
Oh, yeah.
He's not scared of the threat of snow.
Never. Well, he's in the Bong Marine.
Right.
So.
Or frozen water.
Yeah. doesn't faze him.
A couple more texts here. 905, so great to hear Esmeralda again. 312, so good to hear the three of you together. Can't wait for Skip Skipley to get things going.
Ah.
Oh.
I hear all the cats in my neighborhood bracing themselves.
Oh, there you go. They're all ready.
870, the Tay Diggs movie sounds like a remake of Let's Get Hairy.
Let's Get Hairy. Wow, there's a deep cut.
224, we love Ez and Nick.
Oh. All right.
All right.
Now, let's recap the score here. We're playing a little for the record. It's 3-2. I'm in the lead, but it's only because I sang.
Okay.
You know how that works. It's 3-2, but it's only because I sang.
Mm-hmm.
So, whose question is this one?
This would be yours. Category is one hit wonder.
Uh-oh.
What was Perfect Gentleman's lone hit that charted in 1990? Kiss and Tell, Ooh La La, parentheses, I Can't Get Over You, Tell Me Something, or May I Open the Door?
I have no idea who that is.
Never heard of them either.
Never heard of this. I'm gonna say Ooh La La.
You are correct.
That sounded familiar. But I couldn't tell. Yeah, I couldn't tell you who that is. The song.
That's a Faces. It's a Faces song.
Oh.
It was on the soundtrack.
And
to,
The Perfect Gentleman.
And the soundtrack to Rushmore. It was used in Rushmore. That's weird. I don't know. I have no idea who The Perfect Gentleman. I have no idea what that is. Okay. I got it right, though. I don't know what the hell. All right.
Categories Mosh Pit Esmeralda.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
How many performance stages were at Woodstock 99? 7. 3. 1 or 14? 7.
1?
Incorrect.
Man.
3.
Okay. Woodstock 99.
Yeah, I was trying to think how many cameras.
Yeah, I don't know.
Were there on? Because I watched.
You watched Woodstock 99?
Wait.
Or 94?
Oh,
94.
No.
94. You watched 94.
Yeah, I watched 94.
Yeah. I think there was only one stage in 94. If I'm not mistaken.
That's why I answered that way.
Yeah.
Good job.
All right. What happened now?
Categories of the 80s. The questions for Esmeralda.
Oh, Esmeralda! Mm.
What was rapper LL Cool J's first top 40 hit? Was it I Need Love, Around the Way Girl, Mama Said Knock You Out, or Wild Thing?
Wait, why is this one for me?
Because
it's a new card.
Okay.
We switched. Yeah.
Wait, what's the question?
What was rapper LL Cool J's first top 40 hit?
Okay.
I Need Love, Around the Way Girl, Mama Said Knock You Out, or Wild Thing?
I'm going to go with Mama Said Knock You Out.
That is incorrect. I Need Love.
I knew that was this one, but I didn't think. I was like, well, maybe he didn't get like big success until Mama Said Knock.
Well, I mean, that was, he had hits before that, but that was like his fifth at that point, fifth single.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because that came out in 90. So, and he'd hit like in the late 80s, like 87, I think, was his first thing. I think.
Dang.
All right. 4-2, me.
Category is the 90s. The question is Nick's, but the song will be Esmeralda.
Here the cats are ready.
And we dedicate it to our birthday boy, because I know it's one of his favorites.
Oh,
Previous, provide us a line or two from Too Legit to Quit.
Oddly enough, I only know the chord. I can do the hand signals.
Yeah, do that, yeah.
Yeah. Too legit to quit. Hey! Too legit. Doon, 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 doon. Too legit to quit. Too legit to quit. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I couldn't.
I don't know any other lyrics than that to that song.
And then the, hey, hey, that's all I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. That's,
we'll count it.
Fine, you got it.
I got the finger thing down.
You
I
did.
Do
yeah,
it
the cats
quickly.
Enjoyed that. The cats were doing that with their paws.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. All right.
Question is, who had the 1992 high energy hits Adam's Groove and Too Legit to Quit? Was it
seriously?
Was it Mr. Big?
Mr. Big?
Ryan Tracy, Puff Daddy, or Hammer?
Mr. Big?
He just wants to be with you.
Oh, my God. All right. It's obviously Hammer.
That is correct.
I like that they don't do the MC.
Correct. Just Hammer.
Well, at that point, he was Hammer.
Because he's tough.
He dropped the MC and just became Hammer.
With Adam's groove.
That's right. That's tough. Because he's legit. He's too legit. All right.
All right. Next question. Esmeralda, category's real name. What was rapper Heavy D's birth name?
It's the second time Heavy D has been brought up on the show.
Wow.
Was it David Morris, Dwight Myers, Darren Stevens, or Donny Osmond?
Oh, wouldn't that be quite a thing? What was the first one?
David Morris, Dwight Myers, Darren Stevens, or Donny Osmond?
David Morris.
Incorrect. Dwight Myers.
Darren Stevens?
Darren Stevens.
The husband on Bewitched?
Can you imagine, though, if he was Donny Osmond?
Oh, that was that. If his real name was indeed Darren Stevens, you know, from Bewitched, that would be pretty great. We have to break.
We do.
All right, we have to break here. We got the news coming up, and then we'll wrap up the. Boy, look at this! This is the first time Skip Skipley has retired twice in one session. Yeah. All right.
So many watches.
News is next. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up. And Esmeralda Leon is here, everybody. Yay!
Hi! The two people who are here.
By the way, you know, that now during my show, they show at least two episodes of Friends.
On
Channel 9, so I've been like
the sheep
looking at the screen every once in a while.
And you're reminiscing.
The other night I was watching. The other night, Dan, what was it? Who was it? Van Damme, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was, and everybody. It was like seven different cameos.
Because they got more. You know, the more famous they got. They were able to get all their friends to show up.
Sean Penn was on.
Are you mixing up? Sean Penn.
Sean Penn was on Friends too, but he was also on Two and a Half Men.
Right.
Here's something insane.
Come on,
because Two and a Half Men is on too.
Yeah.
That show. Listen to this. An episode of Two and a Half Men was on the other morning here, and I was looking at the screen and I almost fell off my chair.
Why?
Because it was Elvis Costello. Elvis Costello, Sean Penn, and Harry Dean Stanton.
Why were they there?
Well, because Sean Penn grew up with Charlie Sheen, and they were friends. So he brings Harry Dean Stanton and Elvis Costello onto Two and a Half Men?
Come on, Elvis Costello.
I was like, what the? And Harry Dean Stanton, like the coolest man that ever lived? And they're just then sitting around, and what I saw was they were just sitting around in the apartment smoking cigars and drinking. Like, where does that come from? So, hey, welcome back. And it's Skip Skipley is back.
Hey, guys.
He retired 43 times in 15 minutes.
Is that a record?
I think so.
Guinness record. Yeah. Sorry,
Vic. That's right.
Oh.
Sorry, Vic.
We gift him a
So we're
Guinness
still
record.
Doing the For the Record here. This is a lovely little trivia game that we play whenever Esmeralda comes by. I am leading 5-3. And I don't know whose question it is because I've lost track of what happened in the world.
It would be yours.
Mine?
Yes.
Oh!
This is the last question as well. Heavy D, his real name.
All right.
Yeah.
Darren Stevens from Bewitched.
Right.
What's Andorra doing here? Okay. That's my Darren Stevens. That's
it was
my,
really good.
That was my Dick Sargent. Not Dick York. That was my Dick Sargent.
Categories, you're on stage, Nick.
All right.
Who created the Soul Train Awards? Dick Clark? Sinbad? Lloyd Thaxton or Don Cornelius?
It would be Don Cornelius.
Yes, unfortunately.
Sinbad,
by the way, is on this show Rel.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and Dana, my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo, was recently on Rel.
Is that any good?
It's awful. Show? I only watched the episode with her on it.
Oh, well, that's sad.
And so she was only in the first, like, 4 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did like a Pretty Woman parody, and she was the Richard Gere. It was it's very bad, and so anyway. She said that I was like, well, you did, you know. I said, you did. Rel, did you at least get to meet Sinbad? She said, yes, he's the coolest, and started telling all these great stories about how cool and funny Sinbad is.
Sinbad,
I love Sinbad. All right, what's next?
Next category is One Hit Wonder. Esmeralda, it's for you. Mm-hmm. In 1986, what group had a number 16 hit with the Captain of Her Heart? Was it Perfect Gentlemen? Dublé, Commander Cody, or Danny Wilson? In late 1986, what group had a number 16 hit with the Captain of Her Heart?
It can't be. Oh, it's 16, so that's not a one hit. Well, I was going to say Perfect Gentleman, but he can't. He's already, in the last question, I think it said that it was a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
So he cannot have another hit.
Bravo. Look at you with the deduction.
I'm deducing.
Wow.
It's
sort of like that great spy, Sherlock.
I don't know. Wait. What
your
were other, the other
Your other options are Dublé, Commander Cody, or Danny Wilson?
Danny Wilson?
Incorrect. Dublé.
I have no idea who that is.
Well, it's the person who did that song.
Good answer.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that either. Captain Cody's from the 60s. So, all right.
Final question.
No! Esmeralda, I'm going to win. Me and Ernest Hemingway zombie and Bart.
I hope that zombie bear eats you.
Bart the bear zombie. All right. So it's 6-3. If I get this, it'll be 7-3.
Category is mosh pit.
Oh, no.
So the question is, The Cure are known as the godfathers of what kind of rock? Alternative, heavy metal, goth, or country?
Well, I mean, technically it could be, it could fit two of those categories.
Oh, boy.
But I'm going with goth.
You are correct.
Yeah, but it's also alternative.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
One of my friends used to call Robert Smith Fat Rob.
Oh,
just call him Fat Rob because I dated a girl who loved The Cure.
Yeah,
loved The Cure and loved Robert Smith. And my friend purposely, when she was around, would go, "Hey, look who's on TV! It's Fat Rob."
He has not aged well.
No,
and then he still wears the makeup.
I know he does,
and it does not look good.
And he's got the hair too.
Yeah, but it's thinning.
Yeah, I like The Cure though.
No, I enjoy them. He needs to realize his limitations.
Man's got to know his limitations. That's a Clint Eastwood line right there. Well, Skip, thank you, Skip, please.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. I'll see you guys out front when I'm riding the bear's back on the way to the boat to get Ernest Hemingway.
I hope they both feast on you.
They will. I wanted to touch on this here for everybody. Veterans Day is this weekend. It takes place on November 11th. Americans honor those who have served the military, and we also want to thank Vic for his service.
Yes.
But there are all kinds of freebies and deals that you can have for current and retired service members on Veterans Day. Some of these promos take place on the 12th, the day after, because you know that's when Veterans Day is observed. You must have a valid military ID or proof of service. The restaurants here have these. Some are dine-in visitors only. Some are not good for carry-out orders. They're all dine-in, so you have to. It's not good for carry-out orders. Applebee's, free meals for veterans with active military or Veterans Day. On Veterans Day, it's Applebee's tradition this year. Those who have served get a free full-sized entree on November 11th. The eight options for this year's free meal are the classic bacon cheeseburger, the 6-ounce USDA top sirloin dinner, chicken tenders platter, double crunch shrimp, fiesta lime chicken, oriental grilled chicken salad, oriental chicken salad, and three cheese chicken penne. Bar Louie, during operating hours on November 11th, veterans and active military can get a free burger or flatbread up to a $15 value. Plus, from November 5th through the 12th, Bar Louie will allow diners to donate via an add-on to their checks to Operation Homefront. So you can add on to your checks. It's a nonprofit that provides support for military families. Buffalo Wild Wings, veterans and active duty service members get a free small order of boneless or traditional wings and fries on Veterans Day. The offer is available at participating locations only, so be sure to call ahead. Cracker Barrel, on November 11th, veterans can choose between a free slice of double chocolate fudge Coca-Cola cake.
Wow.
Or a specialty coffee beverage. Cracker Barrel's specialty coffee drinks include the Goo Goo Cluster Latte. Wow. Mochas, by how much sugar is in that? The mochas, lattes, vanilla lattes. The promo is offered at all Cracker Barrel Old Country Store locations nationwide. Famous Dave's, the barbecue chain, will salute vets on November 11th and 12th with a two-meat salute. That refers to the free platter all former and current military personnel can get on these days, on those 2 days. Those eligible for the deal can choose between two different meats, which include Georgia chopped pork, country roasted chicken, barbecue chicken, Sweetwater catfish fingers, Southside rib tips, or Texas beef brisket. The complete meal has your side of cornbread muffin. Great Clips. On November 11th, veterans and current military members can receive a free haircut or a card for a free haircut to use in the future. Non-military customers can get on the action by purchasing a service for themselves and receiving a free haircut to give to a veteran. All haircut cards received during Veterans Day are redeemable until December 31st of this year. Let's see. On the Border, the Mexican food chain will give active and former military members a free Create Your Own Combo 2 meal. And that's on November 11th. The combo lets you choose any two items from the combo menu, which includes tacos, enchiladas, empanadas. The meal is served with rice, beans, and endless chips and salsa.
Not bad.
And Rock Bottom Restaurant and Brewery, from November 10th through the 12th, veterans get a free entree. Plus, the chain will be serving a limited edition Veterans Day IPA, November 10th through the 17th. From each pint, 25 cents will be donated to a local veterans charity. That's cool. Ruby Tuesday. All military personnel with valid military ID can get a free appetizer of up to $10 in value on November 11th. Options include banging shrimp, loaded potato chips, barbecue pork meatballs, mozzarella sticks, and more. Smile Direct Club. This is the biggest ticket Veterans Day special on this list. From November 9th to November 12th, the At-Home Invisible Braces Company will give veterans and active military $200 off the purchase of Invisible Aligner. Wow. That's really cool. And then finally, Tractor Supply Company. Veterans, active duty military, and their dependents can receive 15% off of all their purchases at Tractor Supply Company stores on November 11th. So take advantage of all of that stuff. All right. Cool. Do we have weather?
We do.
All right.
The snow is delaying it.
The snow is delaying the weather.
I'm saying goodbye to Skip.
Yeah, you and Skip were having a conversation. I saw. It was very, very cool. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to break. We got the weather. And then when we come back, our regular features will begin.
You big dummy. See what you did?
Oh, no, you big dummy.
You dummy.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich follows with the opening bell, and coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. So you guys know what this is. This is the first of our regular Friday morning features, and it is You Big Dummy. This is when we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. They're all these stories are real, and we read them, talk about them, recap it, and then we vote on who is the biggest dummy. And Esmeralda is here this morning, so she is going to be our third vote. And normally when she's not here, we have a caller call, and the first caller comes through. They can vote, but this morning Esmeralda is here, so she will do the voting for the third vote. All right, let's begin. Dummy number one, dummy number one, dummy one. Custom agents inspecting cargo shipments found 66.3 pounds of meth hidden inside canned foods. U.S. Custom and Border Protection said officer and agricultural specialist were inspecting a shipment of canned foods from Mexico at Houston Intercontinental Airport on Tuesday. They discovered that a can of tomato puree had irregular weight distribution. The can was opened and a liquid substance that started crystallizing inside tested positive for methamphetamine. More meth was found inside of cans of tomato puree, hominy, and mole, officials said. The 66.3 pounds of meth had an estimated street value of $225,000. This particular seizure illustrates how well-trained, experienced, and committed our mission that our CBP agriculture specialists are, said the Houston area port director, Raymond Polly. His attention to detail resulted in the prevention of over 66 pounds of methamphetamines from ending up in the hands of our community.
I mean, I didn't know you were interested in gardening.
Why not?
Well, up to now, the only thing you've grown is dumber and dumber. The only reason I call you a dummy is because I call them as I see them.
Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Dummy two. Two men in Germany have been convicted of stealing more than 100 portable toilets. Dusseldorf District Court delivered its verdict Tuesday, giving a 40-year-old man a 10-month suspended sentence and a 28-year-old ex-colleague 6 months. Both men worked for a waste disposal company where the toilets were disappearing from. Done over a period of months, the estimated values of the port-potties were $79,700. The man admitted to having sold the toilets to a company in the Netherlands via a go-between.
My only child is a dummy.
Yeah, I'm worthless, penniless, broke, busted, and
a dummy.
All right. Let's see. We have a reader this week. By the way, I forgot to say this. If you want to be a part of You Big Dummy, you can find a link to a funny, real, dumb news story and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Say, I would like to read this on the air. You can get to read it on the air. And on top of that, you get a Lou Malnati's pizza. It's a win-win-win situation. So get your funny story links going and be a part of the show next week. Now, our reader this week is our good friend of the program, the host of Vinyl Emergency Podcast, and the Now Playing Network, our good friend Jim Hankey. Jim, by the way, will actually be joining us next week to talk about the special record store releases for Black Friday. But he saw this story and wanted to share. And for being our reader, Jim wins a $25 Lou Malnati's gift card. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40 Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Take it away, Jim Hankey.
Reporting from Nashville, Tennessee, this is Jim Hankey for You Big Dummy. A man has been arrested for robbing a McDonald's. This was after being sent home from another McDonald's the very same day for being late for his first shift of employment. KSAT in Texas reports the 19-year-old showed up late for his first day of work at a McDonald's and was subsequently sent home. While he was waiting for his ride, he asked questions about security cameras and protocol related to robberies. After getting picked up by his twin brother, the two then headed to another nearby McDonald's. There, the still-uniformed, tardy employee walked in, saying he was sent from another branch to help out. When a manager requested he fill out some paperwork, he pulled out a weapon and robbed the restaurant safe of $1,500. When local McDonald's managers reviewed the security footage, one of them recognized the robber as the same worker who had been sent home earlier that day. It turns out the suspect's driver, again his twin brother, was a 5-year McDonald's employee as well. Police then tracked the duo's car, resulting in a crash, and authorities arrested the hamburglaring and now former McDonald's employees at the scene of the accident. And now, back to you, Nick.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great. The criminal masterminds.
And I can't wait to see you starring in your first movie.
Yeah.
Deep Dummy.
I'm not kidding you. You're a big dummy.
Dummy number four. Dummy number four. By the way, this is linked up on our Facebook page, which is one of the many, many reasons you should like our Facebook page. You can check this out at facebook.com/Nick D Show. The link is up right now. facebook.com/Nick D Show if you want to check it out. shocked visitors to a supermarket parking lot in Scotland captured video of a car that somehow had wedged between the safety barriers. Maddie Bestwick said he and his son were in the parking lot of the Aldi store when they saw the partially crumpled car wedged front to back between safety barriers in front of the store's doors. "I was shocked at how it could even be possible to get the car in that position," Bestwick said. "Everyone was just looking at each other in disbelief as they walked by one another," he said. "I think the man reversed the Toyota and the car somehow managed to bounce into that position." Bestwick said the driver of the Toyota was not injured.
"You bigger dummy than my dummy."
All right, we're going to break here. We got one more dummy. But here's my takeaway from that story. They have Aldis in Scotland?
Yeah, they started in Germany.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, I don't know the history of Aldis.
Yeah, Aldis and Trader Joe's are the same.
Yeah, I know that. I didn't know that they were...
They started in Germany.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a quick break here, and we got one more dummy story, a recap, and then we shall vote. But the news is next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's Friday morning. Yeah, man, yeah! Fly Jams Friday coming up. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies. And as you can tell, we're right in the middle of you, big dummy. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6. And after 4:30, we're going to celebrate Vic Vaughn's birthday, which is tomorrow. Yes. And also, Esmeralda Leon is here. Yay.
Hi. Ooh.
Hi, Esmeralda. It's been so much.
Wait, what's that? That
was
Dan?
I think that was Vic.
That was me.
Oh, it was you? Oh, okay. All right. Well,
blame it on me.
All right.
I was listening.
You were listening. There you go. We're back, and Esmeralda's here. And so we're going to have some fun with Vic's birthday in a little while. So let's get back to dummies. Dummy number five, dummy number five, dummy number five. By the way, both Dan, both Esmeralda and I went to our Facebook page and looked at that car. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. An Australian man who went viral after using a mobility scooter to tow his large boat said police told him to expect charges. Shane Swanscott. Wow, that is a hell of a name right there. Shane Swanscott became an unexpected viral star when bystanders posted photos to social media showing him using the small mobility scooter to tow the boat on a road in Belmont, New South Wales. Swanscott said he finished working on the boat about the same time that his driver's license was suspended, so he decided to use his mobility scooter to tow the boat to the harbor. He said he never made it to the harbor as he was stopped by the police. He said police told him to expect to be charged with an offense like linked to the incident, but they have not told him what that charge will be.
Get lost, dummy. Before this game, you were just a plain dummy, but after the night, you'd be a broke dummy.
All right. We have to vote, and let me give you a recap, and then we will cast our votes for who is the biggest dummy of the week. How about the guy who tried to smuggle meth in cans of tomato puree? We've got the guys who stole hundreds of portable toilets. The guy who robbed a McDonald's after being sent home for his being late on his first day at McDonald's with his twin brother, who also was a 5-year veteran of working at McDonald's. You got the guy who got his car stuck between two safety barriers and the guy who towed a boat with a mobility scooter. All right, Dan, what the hell?
I appreciate the fact that the dummy in number one diversified include mole. You know, he just didn't keep it to one condiment area.
Yeah, exactly.
So I appreciate that. That is a heck of a name with number five.
Oh, yeah. Shane Swanscott.
I mean, if I ever meet an Australian, besides Tim from Australia we met the other day, that's the name I'd want to meet. With number four, you know, it's one of those things where just it's kind of like, if I knew that guy, I'd be like, I wouldn't even be mad. I'd be impressed. That's just, you couldn't try to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, a twin brother... The first day, like, they wouldn't have your name on file. And one of our texters said another story reported that he still had his name tag on. So I'm going to go number three.
All right. Let's see. Number three. All right, Esmeralda, what the hell?
So I don't understand what the problem is with the mobility scooter and the boat. That seems okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily dumb.
You do what you got to do.
Yeah, hey, man, his license was suspended.
How else are you going to get your boat out there?
Yeah.
I have to go with the McDonald's one, though.
You have to go with McDonald's? Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jim Hankey, our good friend Jim Hankey, who will be joining us here on the show to talk about Black Friday, did a great job reading it as well.
Very good, yeah.
Very good job. It's unanimous. It's the McDonald's twins. The McDonald's twins. So they get it.
So was the other twin still, he was still working at McDonald's?
Yeah, he was 5 years. He'd been working at McDonald's for 5 years.
See, I would have just sent that guy in.
Well, the other
Why
thing
you gotta
is...
Why you got to send in the one that doesn't even know anything?
The guy that, first of all, the guy who's worked at McDonald's for 5 years, wouldn't he know about security? Why would you have to
right?
go in? Why don't you just ask your brother?
See, that's why I think it was... A situation where it was the first guy idea, the guy who was late's idea, because he was like, oh, I'm mad. And then he's just like, oh, I should rob this place. And so that's why he started asking questions.
Oh,
and then
okay.
when he got in the car, he's like, hey, dude, I've got an idea.
So it wasn't premeditated.
Right.
When he got sent home, he was like, that's it, I'm robbing this place.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I do like that they're like,
and
oh,
the brother's like,
him.
Oh, you should just go to another location. They won't, you know.
I just thought it was funny that the second they asked him to sign some paperwork, he's like, "Nah, and
gun!
Then he has the gun."
Yeah,
like, that's
a ridiculous story. It's totally ridiculous. It's two dummies for one, two for one, because you get twin dummies.
Yeah.
All right. There's the winner. All right. We've had some really good straight out of contexts. Last week, especially the ladies. They're
dominating
Mary Vandeveld and Mary Sandberg Boyle had one of my favorites ever last week, and it was something to the effect, Dan, it was like I've never
had to fake one.
I've never had a fake one. And then the other Mary goes, me neither.
Wow.
And I was like, well, good for you girls.
Yeah.
Good for you. And then there wasn't another woman
High
sort of
standards.
Satisfied? Like, wasn't there another...
Yeah, there was. I forget what it was.
Was it Violetta?
Yes.
Yeah, and there were some satisfied women last week.
Oh.
Yeah. Never had to fake one. All right. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as hell. F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context.
Context. What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context.
Yeah, that's right. Time for Straight Out of Context. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Keep your ears peeled. When somebody says something that you can pull out of context, jot down the day, the time, who said it, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com, and we'll collect them all and play them back and laugh like three-year-olds. You want to get a couple in here before we end a break?
Yeah, let's knock out a couple. Brian heard this exchange between Elif and John Williams.
Did you take it out?
I did.
That's good. All right.
Kelly from Elgin emailed another one of John.
You got to do it right.
After you take it out. Right?
I mean, what other way is there?
That's exactly.
Same conversation.
No, it was the same. Yeah. That was the same conversation.
Same conversation, just a little bit later. Didn't put that together.
It's like a how-to.
Yeah. One more before you break. So Brian sent in this one of Mary Vandeveld.
I like the sausage better.
Wow. See what happens, Esmeralda?
All
leave.
The things we know about Mary now.
You leave, and Mary goes nuts, starts talking about sausages. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
All right. We are going to break here. We got some weather, and then we come back. We got more Straight Out of Context than Nick Sheehy. What?
Mm,
Nick, yeah, it's easy for you
it's
to say.
It's a new thing.
Nick D Show Spies. And then Vic's birthday is also coming up, and some fly jams. So stick around for all of that. So here is your weather.
So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as
F-bomb.
As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight
out of context, context, context. 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 Context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context, 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 context.
That's right. We're back with the dirty stuff. Esmeralda Leon is here. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hi.
Hi. We're back, and we are going through all of the straight out of contexts with people getting saying dirty stuff that you can pull out of context here, and there you go. So let's get back to it. Are we ready, Dan?
We are.
All right.
Ken from Hillside heard this one of Wendy Snyder.
Dude,
what position are you best at?
Oh, no. Come on now.
It's very straightforward.
Come on now. All right. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Jeremy texted another one of Wendy.
And honestly, as you're doing it, you're like, this isn't doing anything.
Okay.
Caller brings us this one of you.
Especially for someone who's phallically challenged. See, okay, let me explain
this.
I
didn't even sound like you.
That was me, but let me explain what happened. And Dan, you and I both didn't catch this.
Right.
That I said this. I was interviewing the guy from Movember, okay, of which I am doing my Movember mustache. Please donate if you can. It's for a good cause. It's for men's health. My Movember page is up. You can go to Movember.com, type my name in. It'll take you right to the page, and please donate whatever you can. Anyway, I was talking to one of the guys from Movember, and he said that, you know, he asked me what kind of mustache I was going to grow. Do I grow a good mustache? And I said, yes, I grow a pretty solid mustache. And I said, I'm doing the Fu Manchu. And he said that he barely can grow a mustache. He's one of these guys that has a hard time, you know, growing a mustache. So I said that. Damn, can you play it one more time? So... Especially for someone who's phallically challenged. It does sound a little low, doesn't it? It sounds like a roar, bruh. Anyway, I wanted to say follically.
Right.
And I said phallically.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get, I don't think the...
A little Freudian slip.
I don't think my guest caught it, but I later on I did, and I went, uh-oh. I said phallically challenged instead of follically challenged. I wanted to explain that. So, all right.
And next up, Erico heard this one of Steve Dale.
Thank you very much for getting up so early.
Well, sometimes you have to. all right.
Brian emailed this one of Justin Kaufman.
I wanted to sneak it in on Saturday afternoon.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Saturday afternoon's the best time. All right.
Kelly from Elgin sent in this one of Dean Richards.
She's apparently never seen me really go at it with somebody.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We all have, Dean. All right.
Wild Bill heard this one of you.
He should have done it in the car. What was it?
He's phallically challenged.
That was, we were talking about... Alanis Morissette doing the newer version of Ironic.
Mm. Oh, Jimmy Fallon.
It was on James Corden's show.
Oh, okay.
And I was saying that they should have done it. He's known for singing in a car, James Corden. Why wouldn't they do it in a car? Because that's right. Where the video took place. Mm-hmm. But then it was pointed out to me that it was ironic that James Corden didn't do it with her in the car.
Mm.
Well, that's going to show up on next week's show. Anyway, but that's what we were talking about. All right.
And finally.
Uh-oh.
Wild Bill emailed another one of you.
Come on now. I walk around with meat in my pocket. And haven't you ever heard of pocket meat? All right. Hold on. We gotta have to explain.
What?
It was We were talking about weird sandwiches.
Okay.
Okay, and like I was talking about historic sandwiches that should make a comeback.
Uh-huh.
All right, we had this article about them. We were talking about that. And then it was a listener. It was a listener named Dan, right?
Yes.
A listener texted in just the two words, pocket meat. Because we were talking about, because people were texting in, you know, weird sandwiches, mayonnaise and peanut butter. I like that. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And just simply the area code from where the text came from and the words pocket meat. So I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea what the hell that meant. What does that mean? What does pocket meat even mean? So the texter called in and he explained that he's like, yeah, I just like to keep meat in my pockets and you can keep it warm and you can just go in and eat whatever you want.
Goodness.
And I was like, well, you at least put it in a Ziploc bag or a plastic bag or something. He's like, oh, yeah, but I keep it in my pocket and keep it warm. It's called pocket meat. So that was a new phrase that we were... And he became... Pocket meat became another member of the Morning Zoo. Yeah, man, pocket meat! So, but I still don't... I don't really... And then what was this? We had it. Now people are referencing it.
I did see on Facebook someone posted it.
Pocket meat.
Yes.
Yeah. And someone said, what was it we were talking about? Slim Jim? Celebrity endorsements.
Yeah, snap into a Slim Jim.
It was Randy Macho Man Savage.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, you know, we were talking about who were some of your favorite, you know, like celebrity endorsers of things. And somebody just texted in Randy Macho Man Savage, pocket meat. Because you can keep Slim Jims in your pocket because it's pocket meat.
Yeah, but I think deli meat.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like cheating or something.
Yeah.
The Slim Jim.
Yeah, because it's not, you know, like you're thinking like meat.
Yeah, I want straight up deli meat.
Yeah.
In a designated pocket bag.
A pocket bag?
Well, yeah, it would be in the shape of a pocket.
Oh!
Just because it seems gross to put it in a Ziploc. I don't know why. It would have to be...
Wait. So you prefer...
It would look weird, like you just pull the Ziploc bag of deli meat.
Of meat.
It would be neat if it was like this... It was like the size of your pocket, and it swiftly...
And it kept your meat.
Yes, and it maybe had a flap.
A flap for your pocket meat.
Yes.
So, you know...
Something classier than a Ziploc. That's what I'm talking
about. Oh, you want to class up the pocket meat.
Yeah.
Classy pocket meat.
Yeah. You get some boar's head. Very nice.
Very good. A little sirloin in your pocket meat.
Come on, a little roast beef.
Yeah. All right. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think a pocket meat's a good idea. All right. All right, Dan. Should we wait here or...
How should we do this? I'm torn.
We can wait, right?
Well, we'd have to wait until after birthday boy Vic Vaughn's birthday as well.
Yeah, and after the... Don't we have an express too? Yes. Maybe we should just do it now.
Yeah.
And then we can be a couple of minutes late to news or a minute late?
Yeah, we'll do it though.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. Ooh, what do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all the fuss? There ain't nobody spies. Like
hey! Spies. Like us.
All right. So there it is. This is when you listen 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, you become a spy. We want to know about it. Jot it all down and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com.
Our spies this week were Peter in Decatur, Brian, Kelly from Elgin, and Ken from Hillside.
Okay.
Dave Plyer had the daylight saving shift and was talking about what the spring forward does to your body and sleep patterns and mentioned you.
And this is the one thing that, as an overnight radio host, like Nick,
right.
Nick's body clock is
totally
changed since you took it because he does it every weeknight.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is his job overnight. My job during the week is during the day. So at nighttime, for me, my circadian rhythm gets the crap kicked out of it.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm now anxious.
Well, you do it one night a week.
Yeah, doing it one night a week.
It seemed like a twofer there.
I was going to say half of that could have been on out of context.
Yeah.
All right.
Next one, Steve Cochran and crew were talking to Dean Richards about Bohemian Rhapsody and mentioned you.
Before I let you go, though, will you do me a favor and take Justin to see it because no one in his family will go with him?
I tried like three or four times, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I wanted a date night on Friday night. I wanted to sneak it in on Saturday afternoon. Was thinking maybe a post-game
post Bears game showing, couldn't get it done. I know.
Yeah, so if you would, I know you've seen it.
Notice Dean is not agreeing to take
it. Yeah, no, he really hasn't.
So I think Justin's going to have to
Dean
take himself.
Dean and I have watched films together.
We have gone to the same screenings together.
But did Dean know you were going to be there? He may have not gone.
No, we keep one seat between us.
Several times I've just like, ooh, Justin's here. I think I'll go sit over there.
Well, you know the power you have on your Sunday show. Maybe make Dave Schwann take him.
Just don't have Nick take him because Nick hated it.
Did he really?
He hated it. Nick did not like
the movie. Oh, my gosh.
You know, sometimes Nick stays up too late. All right, buddy, I'll catch you.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion. Justin, I'll be happy to take you. We can share a bucket of popcorn.
I love it. Thank you.
All right, now it got awkward.
Yes, I did hate that movie. I'm not going to go into it, but I hated it. Okay, is that it? Or one more?
That is it.
Okay, that's it.
By the way, again, another... Yeah. Straight out of context
In the Spy Club.
Oh, yeah.
And would have made sense with the other one about the afternoon.
It's true.
Come on, listeners.
All connected. It's all connected. All right, let's break here. We're going to get to the news in a minute.
Can we have Esmeralda sing that?
Okay, Esmeralda, can you do the rap part of this?
I wish. Yeah. Informer. Thank
you so much.
That's for Vic, man.
That makes my heart happy.
That's for Vic. He loves snow. And it's also going to snow today.
Oh, what?
Hold on a minute. Wait. Hold it now. Wait a second.
Didn't you get an award?
I did.
Is it glowing?
You know, I got. Yeah, I don't know if you knew this or not. But it's this kind of radio that got me a Walk of Fame plaque. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know that or not. That's the
award winning.
When you tied that in.
So we're live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Nick DiGilio here on 720. We're here till 5 a.m. And Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And it's Vic Vaughn's birthday tomorrow. We will obviously not be on the air, so we wanted to celebrate today. Vic, happy birthday, my friend.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Sincerely, thank you, guys.
And happy birthday to Starbucks.
That's right.
That's right. Same year as...
Born in 1971.
Born in 1971. Vic and Starbucks.
They did a little better than I did. So far.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe you'll be able to sell a cup of coffee for $43 at some point.
Right.
We got you some stuff, Vic. Now, Dan, go ahead and take over.
Vic, please grab the purple wrapped gift. The purse, please.
Purple wrapped gift.
And we have.
That's lavender.
Well, lavender.
This one?
Yes, that one.
That one.
Yes.
Wow. Really?
We're gonna... Well, actually.
Next year we'll get you a color chart.
This is great.
Actually, that's lavender.
What do we have here?
We've learned a lot about you over the last couple weeks in your musical tastes. So
this doesn't really say much about me, does it?
We made you a mix CD.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to read off the track list.
Number one. I'll wait for the deep cut, but number one, Savage Garden, Truly, Madly, Deeply.
Wait, what?
He loves that song.
I did not say I love that song. Hated that song.
Yeah, but we talked about you brought up Savage Garden. Though.
I did, but I think it was a list of songs that you would never want to hear again and be fine with it.
Okay.
But I love it. I love it.
All right.
Now, the next one, top 10 songs for me, personally, Glass Tiger.
Glass Tiger.
Don't forget me when you're gone.
Don't forget me when I'm gone.
Yeah.
While I'm gone.
Yes. Number three, Informer, which you just played. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Snow.
Brilliant, brilliant musician there. And Alanis Morissette, ironic.
Oh, what? Wow.
Why is that on there?
Because we talked about it last week.
Right. We did.
So many ties again.
It all tied in.
Lot of love. Now, this one I love. Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, because A Lot of Love. We was one of the requests.
One of our listeners requested that the other day. I had completely forgotten about that song.
Gonna take a lot of love.
Did you sing them on the mix CD?
Yeah, that's me. It's me a cappella.
Could be a valuable disc. I would love it.
That's right, man.
Maybe next year.
It's a valuable. You know, I'm on the Walk of Fame, man. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of listeners, you wanted to give a shout out, Vic, to a listener.
I love you, Mom.
Aww.
Hi, Mom. She's out in the far northwest suburb of Woodstock.
She's listening.
She is listening this morning.
Sure.
Very nice. Go back to bed.
She can't. We have a flight this morning.
Oh, so there you go.
We're traveling to San Francisco together.
Oh, that's nice. You're probably going to be delayed, Vic.
You know, I've been. I think we'll be all right.
Okay.
There's no snow at O'Hare. So.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, what do we got?
All right. Please grab the pink one.
Okay. Oh, that's
or maybe rose colored.
That's chartreuse.
Oh, man. Oh, mayo ketchup.
Yeah.
I love it.
Mayo chup.
Yeah. Mayo chup.
Now, Esmeralda, we had a conversation about this new mayo Heinz chup. Has the combination of mayonnaise and
yes.
ketchup, and they call it mayo chup.
I think we talked about when it first, there
and
was
then,
something
but
about
then we started talking about how Vic would have his own line of condiments.
Mm.
And Dan, what
Colonel Ichnobohetus is...
That's right. Tell me that would not sell.
Colonel Ichnobohetus.
Ichnobohetus.
Ichnobohetus. Colonel Ichnobohetus.
Would you be wearing, because I would assume Vic would be on the
yeah,
front
of course
of it.
He would be.
Would you be wearing some sort of colonel
yeah.
hat?
Maybe my pipe. Uncle, the farmer, could be slapping me on the back of the head.
Yeah.
Because that's what he used to call me when I would make a mistake.
He'd slap you on the back of the
head.
Like plow the field with the wrong piece of equipment.
And it would sell because Vic rightly pointed out it should really be called Ketchinase, not Mayo Chup.
I like Ketchinase
better. Much better name.
Mayo Chup is a terrible name. Ketchinase is much better. Ketchinase much better.
Yeah.
All right.
And our final gift.
Now, Dan, you got a story behind this.
Yes, we'll let you open it first. It's the blue one.
Oh, wow.
Indigo.
Improvisation at the speed of life.
Right. Now, Vic has been taking, Vic took a couple of courses of improv at Second City and is very interested in it.
Yeah.
And so Dan picked up the book.
I love it.
Now, the name of the book, and say who the two authors are.
You want me to try to teach? I hate you.
You could just say the
TJ
first name.
TJ Jugodowski and David Pasquazi.
Pasquazi.
With Pam Victor.
Yeah, so TJ, people will know as one of the guys from the Sonic ads.
Right.
He's the balding gentleman.
Oh, I've seen him here
and
in Chicago, too.
He's
great.
He and David are two of the greatest improvisers on the planet.
That guy is amazing.
David,
thank you.
David and TJ... Two of the greatest improvisers on the planet. Okay?
Yeah, I saw him on State Street a couple months ago walking down.
Who?
I said, that's the guy from the
Sonic. Oh, so you saw TJ.
I saw
okay.
TJ.
All right, Dan, talk a little bit about the other guy.
So David Pasquazi, as Nick mentioned, is a legendary guy and happened to be on Patty's show earlier today, unbeknownst to us.
Are you kidding?
We walked in and he was here.
He was here. So God works in mysterious
ways. And you'd already bought this book.
I bought that from Amazon.
He signed it.
Tuesday.
Oh.
I bought it Tuesday because it arrived on Thursday, and he happened to be here tonight.
So you got it signed.
As I'm walking out, I'm like, hey, man, incredible. I don't mean to bother you, but Vic is taking improv classes, and look at the book we bought for him for his birthday. And I'm like, would you mind signing it?
Odds of that?
I know, right?
Statistician listeners, please call in.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So if you want to read the inscription to him, I thought was pretty funny.
That's from Dave Pasquazi.
Hey, Vic, don't let this book dissuade you. I won't. Thank you very much, David.
Very cool. It just that was such an unbelievable thing.
Unbelievable
that he's here. Because when I walked in, you know, and I looked up at the screen, I was like, oh, Emo Phillips. Because Emo Phillips was on the show, on Patty's show.
Yeah, I saw him in here, too, when I got.
And Emo was with Dave. Dave is actually
opening
for him at Zany's. So Dave was here, and I'm like, wow, she's got Dave and Emo on. And then I freaked out because my two of my best friends walked in from the Factory Theater, who I hadn't seen in a long, long time, Allison Kane and Manny Tamayo. Manny Tamayo, one of my great friends who wrote a play that's now playing at the Factory, and they were going to do Patty's show. So I reunited with them. I hadn't seen them in a long time, and I was on Patty's show talking about some of our old theater stories and stuff. It was a crazy way to walk into work this morning. Like, my God. But, yeah, so anyway, it was so luck. Dan immediately ran out and was like, hey.
So, Dan's awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you, guys. Thanks so much.
And, again, we're not on for Veterans Day, but thanks for your service, buddy. We appreciate it.
Well, my privilege. Thanks, Nick.
All right, very cool. Why don't we break here for some weather, and then we'll come back, and we've got, we have a Blackhawks Express so that we can recap the sixth game they've lost in a row. And I don't want to blame the new coach. We got to give him time. Esmeralda, you heard that they fired Quenneville, right?
I did.
Oh, my God. So, not much has changed,
Did they fire the mustache, too?
The mustache had to go with him.
It went with
him. Yeah, went with him, unfortunately. So anyway, we come back, we'll listen to that, and then we got a few fly jams we'll squeeze in before we get out of here. And happy birthday again to Vic Vaughn. By the way, coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Let's just not talk about what's going on with the Hawks right now. And let's just say that the next game is tomorrow at Philadelphia. The puck drop is, or the pregame's at 11:30. The puck drop is at noon, and they're playing the Flyers, which means Gritty will be there.
I grew up on the farm. Fly.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right.
I'm just saying.
Orion will wait for Gritty.
Gritty will be there. So we'll get to see. I wonder if Tommy Hawk and Gritty are going to, you know, duke it out.
Who do you think would win?
I got to go with Tommy Hawk. But Gritty, I would say that Gritty would fight dirty.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He'd go groin stuff. There's no question he would. All right, what do we got here?
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio. With my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
That's right, man. Not even playing around now. We don't have a lot of time for fly jams this morning. Sorry about that. We'll do a full-on fly jam thing next Friday. But we do have a request from a listener who is Chuck on WGN. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, hi, Nick. My Blackhawks are killing me.
I know.
Real quick, Joni Mitchell turned 75 this week, and I got a fly jam version of Big Yellow Taxi.
All right, here we go.
I didn't bring my glow sticks.
What the hell was that? What the hell was that? Who's responsible for that?
That would be the double espresso NRG mix.
The double espresso NRG mix. What sounded like it? It sounded like an audio double espresso.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joni Mitchell turned 75, and that was not a gift for her. Clearly.
By the way,
thank you, Chuck.
Have you've seen Big Mouth, right?
Oh yeah.
There's a house remix of what's her face saying Bubble Bass.
Oh, is that right?
Very much like that.
There you go.
A little bit better.
Chuck, thanks. That will be our only fly jam this week. Oh, Esmeralda.
Woke me up.
I love you.
Aw, ditto.
And I miss you. Aww, and it was so great ditto. Having you in and having
Thank
some fun
you.
With you. We'll do it again soon, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Get some rest after work.
Nope. Not yet.
I will say, I've noticed you've been down in the
Yeah, because I'm supposed caffeine. To be sleeping right
That's
now.
Right. You're used to sleeping now. It's weird. Okay. Anyway, we'll see you again soon. Take a break,
we'll
everybody. The news is coming up, and then... And then the opening bell. And coming up, we'll come back. We'll be back on Monday morning with all the movie reviews and my dad telling a joke and all that regular stuff for Monday. News is up next.